B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And good morning to you on this Thursday. I only know it's the 99th edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Because tomorrow's 100. And our 6 o'clock hour sponsors, always, as always, Bradford White Water Heaters. We thank Bradford White. They are here for the pro. And Jamie Lynch got himself a Bradford White Water Heater that will be installed today.
Yes. I had to upgrade to the Bradford White, and I was happy to do so.
Well, they wanted to give you a chintzy water
heater. Yeah, and I said, give me the best.
You
give
said
me that,
Bradford White.
Give me that 10-year warranty.
See?
Instead of that 5-year warranty.
You're going to feel a little better about it.
Yeah, I feel a little safer.
Getting that Bradford
still
White.
Smell.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I have been showering.
Really?
Okay, how's the shower been going? Have you just been doing the washcloth and like
No, I have a cousin 11 houses down. I've used his, and then I've used my mother's.
So you have 11 houses down on the same street?
Yeah, right at the end of the street.
Awesome. You have any of that? Did you have any of that growing up? Or do you have it now?
No. We lived near a brother-in-law for about 6 years. Our first house, when we got married, we lived right behind a brother-in-law.
So that's convenient if you need anything.
Yeah, he's got a pool, too. It's very convenient
for us. You
don't
bathe in his pool.
No, just pee.
Oh, just pee in the pool.
Yeah.
What if he puts those purple...
is that an urban myth?
No, it's not an urban myth.
They do exist?
They actually do.
Okay. I might do that.
You should.
I don't swim in your toilet, so don't pee in my pool. Aunt Rita and Uncle Bernie lived at 39, and we lived at 26. So you could just wander down, wander down the block if you needed it. It's an amazing day, and it's a Thursday. That means it's Wednesday. Just wondering if Pat was paying attention. He looked up at me.
It's game day!
Pat looked like he was a little distracted this morning. Pat, are you distracted? Is Coach riding you this morning or something?
It's Thursday.
I understand. I just want to make sure.
Didn't you say it was Wednesday?
I did on purpose to get your head to come up.
Well, yeah, that's
I'm glad. Okay, I just made sure because you look like you look downtrodden this morning a little bit. You were a little angry when you came in today.
Wow.
You were a little angry, so I'm just wondering.
No,
you're
right. You're right. It's a me problem.
But it was a Bomani problem.
Oh, don't even get me started.
By the way, Pat's rant on Bomani Jones this morning should have been on air, and it was classic. It was absolutely awesome. And it did put a smile on my face, Pat, because vengeance, I love it. A good grudge. There's nothing like it. Now, we think Thursday means it's a Wednesday. Wendy's Day. Get a classic breakfast sandwich, small seasoned potatoes, for just $3 at Wendy's. So Wendy's, our Thursday sponsor, and we appreciate them big time here on the John Kincaid Show. I was going to get to something right at the top of the hour, but I'm going to get to this first. It's amazing, and Coach put it up there. This morning, he thought that the ESPN poll was pretty incredible. Who has done more miracles on Earth? Was it JC himself, or is it LeBron James? Because I got to tell you, LeBron.
It's about damn time.
LeBron James can take anything, any moment, and make it so dramatic. It's unbelievable. Now, a great win last night for the Lakers. Two underachieving teams. By the way, we used to not celebrate 7 and 8 seeds. Now, the Lakers are underachieving more because of the fact that I believe it's injury. Golden State, you know, not their full squad too. But we never paid attention to 7 and 8 teams in the history of watching NBA basketball. They were always afterthoughts. When you see LeBron James and Steph Curry being able to go at it, that is a little bit of a different thing. But I've never seen a great player. And I believe he may end up being the greatest player I've ever seen. If it's not him, it's Jordan. And if it's not Jordan, it's him. So it's right there. That worries so much about what the narrative is around his career. Because a slight poke in the eye becomes, that's going to be the talking point of the game. It's going to be what everybody's talking about. And for history, everybody's going to remember this. It's a great win. Bob, you covered the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen, who were the players that LeBron learned this from?
LeBron learned what from?
Let's over-drama everything.
Himself.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of the smartest players ever to play the game also. So where does the smartness come in? The smartness comes in like, okay, I'm going to get calls because I'm LeBron James. He's not above knowing that. I might be able to get Draymond Green a flagrant foul here, which makes it easier for us to win the game. I might have to sell it a little more than I do. Yeah, it, does he go overboard? Yeah. Like, he hits the three that we just watched again on TV. Ugh. We watched the replay. He hits the three, and he feels the need to point to his eye, say, I can't even see. Okay.
I saw three rims after the game. There were three rims, so I just shot for the middle one. BS.
Yeah, I take that with a grain of salt. It doesn't bother me.
Why do you feel the need to do that if you're LeBron James and you are the greatest?
Why does it bother you? What difference does it make? Michael Jordan acted like he had a 1,000 fever when he was hungover or whatever it was. You know, like, all right, it's the dramatics of the game. I don't really care about that stuff.
No.
He made a great three-pointer last night from 39 feet. Is that eye rolling?
Why does it bother me? Because it's bullcrap. It's bullcrap. God forbid if LeBron, it's not personal. What are you talking about personal?
Well, why are you so upset?
Because he's one of the greatest players ever.
Ask me a question. I'm trying to answer.
No, but he is. But then you're saying it's me personally. What the hell personal have to do with it?
You sound like you're upset.
No, it's why do you have to do that when you're the greatest of all time? You are potentially the greatest of all time. Why do you have to do that? I mean, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand why you have to embellish. You're already the everybody acknowledges if you're not the greatest, you're the second greatest.
Yeah.
And everybody is in one or two. Why do you have to try to make it bigger? Everybody knows you're great.
He's got a flair for the drama. I don't know. I mean, sports are basically a giant male soap opera, and he's your leading star.
You know I love soap opera.
Yeah.
I love soap opera.
That's a pretty good line.
It is, though.
It is. I mean, he hams it up. There's no doubt about it.
Who are the other greats, though? All-time greats. That are like...
Sidney Crosby's to a degree.
Yes, there's one.
Has that. Chris Paul kind of comes to mind, like, but he's more of a jar.
Shaq and Kobe, interview I conducted, they both said that it's better to not talk about. There are things that, like, Shaq talks about the fact that he goes, do you know how many times I played with 102 fever?
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I played games with it?
Yeah.
You don't talk about it. You go to work. Go to work. Don't make everybody know, oh, look at what a warrior I am. I've managed to overcome this. And they both sort of took issue with that. Like, that's just it's not their mentality. Lunch pail. And that's one of the only things they ever bonded on.
Yeah, not that guy. You know me.
Right, you're not.
I know Coach hates when I say that. But I don't. I'm a guy that keeps his head down, and I appreciate people that keeps their head down and does what they do and doesn't have to talk so much about it. So... for me to say, like, I don't really care. It's eye-rolling that... that's funny, eye-rolling.
Yes.
That LeBron does it. But to me anymore, it is. It's happened so often that
Are you numb to it?
I think I am, yeah.
But how many other guys do it?
Robert Covington.
In sports. What are the all-time greats?
Oh, God.
I'm talking, my God.
Don't even get me started with
I'm talking all-time greats. Of sports.
Because other people don't do it. That doesn't rule my day. If other people don't do it, you shouldn't do it. Okay, he's unique. He's one of the top two basketball players of all time. Is this a flaw? Is this a character thing?
There's got to be a great wide receiver. Like, that's the equivalent of, like, crying to the ref every time that you didn't, like, get a ball thrown. Like, Where's the flag? Like, I'm sure nobody's coming to mind, but there's definitely a great
Jordan
receiver.
Jordan is what comes to mind. And I believe it's LeBron trying to create his narratives to say, I'm going to win the Jordan argument. Jordan had the 104 degree fever, which, by the way, that was literally, it's mocked by players. I don't know how many players could love asking that question. Like, well, you know how many times I played
pre-game last night, you know, the report comes out, well, LeBron's nowhere near close to 100%. And I was like, all right, we're already planting excuse seeds. Yes. All right, great. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Brian Windhorst got paid well for that.
Wendy?
Pat Egan, you love the Terrell Owens era?
Yeah.
That was great, right? It was awesome?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed
it. What did T.O. do in the Super Bowl?
14 catches, 116 yards.
And playing on a six-week broken leg.
Yeah.
And you know what? T.O. was doing? Just out there balling.
Yeah, he signed a waiver.
Just out there balling.
For me and for you.
Yeah, he did. And I'll always love him for that. I just never understood it. That it's like, well, I'm going to make sure the historical narrative is, remember the game, the poked in the eye game.
I agree with you that I don't know why he feels the need to do it.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
But it doesn't bother me. I just blow it off anymore. But you're right. I don't know why he does feel the need to carry it on. And the little thing, like I just said, when he makes the shot and he has to say, I can't even see.
Oh.
All right, dude.
See, now you get it. You get what I'm getting.
Not to the extent of you.
Like, no, well, that's kinda the extent of me. We don't look at it the same way. I'm just checking it there. Wawa Rewards members can now get a free hot or iced coffee every Tuesday through May. Try their new boosted blend hot coffee with 22% more caffeine. Gotta have a Wawa. So we appreciate them being a part of the station, too. Okay, let's get to this. It's showtime tonight. The 76ers await their first-round opponent. It will either be Washington or Indiana. We've got special coverage you're not going to get anywhere else today. As Bob Cooney has dusted off his coach's shorts, the Johnny Ballhuggers, and he's going to have a whistle around his neck. He's going to give you a scouting report on each potential opponent at 7:15 and 8:15. So do not miss it today as Coach Cooney debuts.
I'm an idiot.
No, I think you're pretty good. The Nets and the Bucks look like a major potential obstacle coming in the conference finals. So it's clear Milwaukee's got the rougher road to navigate than Brooklyn. Miami, the defending Eastern Conference champion. And Boston hobbles into the playoffs, pretty much a wobbly 500 team. But if it's true, though, like Bob says, that you'd like to see your team tested a little bit before they get to the ultimate series that they got to get past that Eastern Conference final, could Milwaukee truly benefit? You know, could that be the rougher road? Could Milwaukee say, you know what? I'm glad we went through Miami. I'm glad we went through the Nets before they would face the Sixers. To me, it's a foreign concept. Like, that seems foreign to me. But I wonder if I'm less of a competitive spirit because of that. Maybe I'm just the overconfident fool. I can guarantee you that wouldn't be the first time. Because I'm looking at it now and I say the way that everything is broken out by the bracket, I see the Nets as the true threat. But I wonder about honestly, Bob, is I love to compete. I love to compete. Love to win. But then I look at my mentality when it comes to the Sixers run and I say, do you really love to compete or are you really trying to find the easiest, wimpiest, easiest path to win? Yeah. And I question it.
Yeah, I really struggle with this. And I'm not dying on a hill saying they have to have a tougher schedule to be at a good spot when it comes to the finals. It's just something that crossed my mind a few weeks ago when we kept talking about, well, Brooklyn and oh, my God. Why am I drawing a blank here?
Milwaukee
have to go through.
Milwaukee.
I know. Have to go through each other. And the thought just popped into my head. Like, wow, you come out of that series, you're going to have to be playing great ball. Whoever wins that series is going to be playing great basketball. Probably their best of the season to go to the Eastern Conference Final. And then because of our recent past history with the Sixers of playing down to opponents, of not looking themselves all the time, not playing up to their best, and we saw it over the last 12 games of the season, that you wonder, wow, I hope they're in the great spot too. Maybe it's only because of my recent biased look at the Sixers of playing down to opponents that it concerns me.
Yeah, I don't think they do that anymore. I think they've matured. From bringing in Danny Green and Seth Curry and Dwight Howard, the vets, the Doc Rivers, and then Joel, maturing and becoming a better basketball player. I don't think they necessarily do that as much. I'm not saying they can't, and they totally could, but I'd much rather be rested, healthy, and basically having two practice series and saving all my energy and health for the battle.
You think more like I do.
Yeah, maybe I'm in the minority here that I think they'll be fine.
I think you're both in the majority.
You think we're in the majority? I think we're in the minority.
I think you're in the majority and that you wanted the easier path.
Oh, I want the complete easiest path.
And that you want these two series to ramp you up and get you playing.
Yeah, I hope this isn't too cocky as warm-up series.
I don't think it is. I think you guys have a good point there.
And I think I'll take the rest. If Milwaukee gets out and they have to go through Miami and then Brooklyn and then the Sixers.
Home court.
That's grueling. Yes. And the Sixers could have feet up. Kick back.
Pat, where do you fall on this? I mean, do you want the easiest path?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so then you say, no, we say of course. But Jamie and I both think we're in the minority with this.
No, I think we're in the majority.
I think we're in the vast majority. I mean,
yeah,
because
me
in
too.
20 years, people only remember parades. They don't remember the path that got you to a championship. You know, it's an afterthought. I mean, what's the point of getting the number one seed if you don't benefit from it?
I ask you about this, and I'll ask you, Pat, the question first. If the Minneapolis Miracle doesn't happen, do the Eagles win the Super Bowl?
I think they do.
So you do. You think they beat the Saints the week after?
But I don't think they beat them 38-7. But I think they win.
Bob.
I didn't want New Orleans. I remember at the time, I didn't want New Orleans coming in here. I didn't want Drew Brees coming in here, a capable offense and a veteran like that who had won a playoff game not too many years earlier.
And a Super Bowl winner.
Could the Eagles have won the game?
Do you think the Eagles win the Super Bowl if that doesn't happen? I do not.
I do. There was something switched after that second half with Atlanta. Anybody that was coming in that stadium that day was going to catch those hands. There was something. It was their time.
I can't argue with that. I really can't. I can't come back with a retort. I can't say devil's advocate. You're probably right. I didn't want New Orleans coming in here, but the way they just trounced Minnesota and the way things went their
bloodbath.
Yeah, no, maybe nobody could have come in here and beat them.
It was one of my favorite. It might be my favorite big game I've ever attended.
Me too.
Because of the fact that the second half, I remember hanging out in the up in the seats where I was sitting, hanging out. One of my best friends, Joe Amico, was up there with his friends, and we're all out. And I go, we stood in there, and we're just talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was nice to be stress free.
There was no chance. That second half just went. By the middle of the third quarter, it was more than over.
It was the perfect way to get to a championship because of the fact you didn't have to sweat it out. You didn't have to sit there nerve-wracking. Like, it was over.
It was awesome.
And Bob, to your point, yeah, I mean, looking back on it, I guess I would have taken facing Case Keenum over Drew Brees.
Every day of the week.
Very close on that one. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Nick Foles, Case Keenum. Like, to me, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Drew Brees, I think Drew Brees would have carved him up.
So I'm with Jamie, and mainly goes back to Chris Long did a podcast where he said there's something about that team that anybody could have gotten.
When they were dancing in the end zone to Meek Mill, that stadium was...
That was so awesome.
That was a different place.
You were both there, right?
I was there for the week before for the Atlanta game, but they barely survived a good Atlanta team, not a great one.
Yeah.
They had been to the Super
something
Bowl the
switched.
Year before, but it was...
Something switched after that.
Philly, could something switch for the Phillies offense last night? Nothing. No support. And Zach doesn't get any support. And it is... Pat, what I will tell you is just we're almost 2 months into it. I see what... I've been seeing what you saw in Zach Eflin and what you believed would happen. I've been seeing it. The mentality change. He is a different pitcher this year.
He's
taken that step.
I feel like he's finally confident in the fact that his game plan that he has going in won't be criticized by analytical people saying you need to throw high fastballs that end up getting hit out of the park, which one did yesterday. But
he seems so much more comfortable on the mound.
He does, yeah. Like when he first came up, he had such a deer in the headlights look. And he doesn't have that anymore.
He's almost got swagger now in the mound, which is good. But the thing is, right now, too, as much praise and everything he's getting, do you see what number his ERA is at? He's right where our bet is.
Well, is he really?
He's at 3.74. So right now, Pat's winning. He's at 3.74. He's right now, the ERA is sitting right. All this praise, and he's just...
That's great.
Yeah, he's right there.
I hope it hovers all year.
I thought he should have came out.
By the way, I think
out.
That's excellent.
I thought he should have came out for the seventh.
I think so, too.
I had a slight bone to pick with Joe again last night.
You think he should have come out for the seventh inning also?
Why didn't you bunt with Brad Miller?
Yeah. I mean, guys, it's Brad Miller.
Exactly my point.
I mean, no. Guy brings the bat.
You take away the double play with no outs and you get a man on second and third.
No, I understand it.
It's not a major gripe, but like...
I completely understand.
When you're trying to manufacture runs...
Has he been one of your best bats this year? Yes.
Yeah,
he's been one of your best bats.
That's pathetic.
And that's what I understand, but it's...
But you gotta play to what
fact.
You got, right?
He's gotta look at the deck of cards.
Sometimes you gotta scratch and claw for runs, and...
I
would have bunted. That's just me.
I don't understand why more teams don't bunt in extra innings.
Yeah.
I don't... I can't understand it.
I,
depending on who's coming up, Lay down a sacrifice and get the run and ask your bullpen to do its job.
Yeah.
To be able to do
its
job.
If I can eliminate a double play in that situation.
I get it.
I eliminate it.
I don't know about Brad Miller as a bunter, though.
Look,
Major League Baseball pitchers have long been, by the way, no explanation to it, because it wasn't always this way, that they don't take, I'm a pitcher, I don't hit.
Yeah.
I'm a pitcher, I don't take batting practice.
You got all the time in the world. Get in the cage.
I watched three Hall of Fame pitchers take batting practice every day. Every freaking day. Took batting practice.
Glavin was a freak.
They cared.
Athletically,
They cared about it, though. They actually cared about it. They just give it up now. We don't want our pitchers hitting. That would be awful, Pat.
I took some pride. I don't know if you guys remember, but the 2011 Phillies team, like, their pitchers had a competition to see who would be the best hitter. Like, they took pride in it as well.
Points for sacrifices, points for RBI.
There was like this like little checklist they had, and I thought it was awesome.
Do you remember when we were growing up how good the Phillies hitters were, our pitchers were at hitting?
Yes.
Steve Carlton, Randy Lersch, Dick Christensen, Ruthven.
These
guys were legit.
They actually
5-6 home run a year guys.
They actually hit sometimes.
Well, I remember Danny Jackson being a good hitter too.
Danny Jackson had that.
Well, he had some.
He was the perfect. Steroids. Yeah, he was the perfect. He was the perfect pitcher though for that. By the way, he was one of the good dudes.
There wasn't
many in that locker room, but he was one of the good people in that locker room. And Danny Jackson could hit. He could hit, and he had an approach, but he's gonna
feel like Mulholland could get the bat on the ball too. Yeah, it's a lost art.
Just give up. But as they say, they don't let pitchers pitch in some high school after 10th grade. Like varsity baseball, I think there's a lot of them where the pitchers don't.
I told you before, I can't stand it because pitchers are your best athlete growing up.
Yes.
Best athlete. You put kids on the field, you get your best athlete, you throw them on the mound. He's probably your best hitter, too. I don't know why they get wasted away as they get older.
Hey, is Howie Roseman truly the best? Well, there is an NFL general manager who believes when there are 31 other general managers to name, he thinks this guy is the best. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Hey, if you get a power bill and you're a sports fan, and you think you know you can pick a winner? I've got a fantastic deal for you from my friends with Star Energy. Star Energy's got a great offer. Join Star Energy today, and you're going to get a great fixed price, all green energy, and no early termination fee. But here's your winning shot. You get to pick the team of your choice to win its championship. And if your team wins, you win $150 in energy credits. And they'll even give you $25 if you're wrong. It's a great electricity product anyway that you need, and they're all sports fans at Star Energy, so they came up with this game to get you juiced up and ready to go. Look, it's free to pick. Every fan should go to Star. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3, 833-GO-TEAM-3, and they'll make picking your team and signing up with Star as easy as an unguarded layup. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3 right now. Star Energy has a no-obligation free sweepstakes going on just for calling, too. So if you think you can pick a winner, put some fun in your electricity bill and some money in your pocket. Tell them John Kincaid sent you to Star Energy.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a Thursday morning. That means Wendy's is in the house. Get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese, or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with the small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. And we appreciate you being a part of the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So it'll be a matchup between Memphis and Golden State to see who plays in the 8-seed game against Utah. And I would believe that Utah is rooting heavily for Memphis.
Yeah. I think it's the first time in Pop's career did I see that he hasn't made the playoffs in back-to-back years.
Yes, that would make sense.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild.
That's incredible.
That's pretty wild. He's been coaching for a long time.
The level of excellence out of Greg Popovich as a coach is just... And still, I think he squeezed every bit of juice out of that lemon.
Absolutely.
To get what they got. Like, to me... And look, Bob, you'll know better. To me, the Pelicans missing the play-in tournament and Pops taking that San Antonio team to the play-in tournament, that's an indictment on the Pelicans.
Yeah.
It's an indictment.
Yeah, it is. But it's also another notch in the hat of Pop, I guess. You're right. You look at that lineup and you're kind of...
How did he get that team in when the Pelicans don't make it?
I don't know. And DeMar DeRozan, great player, all that. But he's kind of all you have. And Patty Mills, believe it or not, has been around for a while and really was never a go-to guy. It's amazing what he does year in and year out.
I'm always a fan of the tactician teacher. And he's a teacher, but he constantly develops players and brings guys up.
And
the way that organization stashes players overseas and then brings them and they come out of nowhere over the years in his run has been incredible. And he's had three different opportunities to leave. I read a piece about him just, I guess it was before this year. He's had three different chances where teams have went after him. Brooklyn went after him, by the way. They went after him. They wanted him to come.
Smart.
They wanted him to be the coach in Brooklyn. He wanted no parts of it. Like, that was like, I don't want any parts of that.
There was a rumor the Sixers wanted him to come in and be the president of everything while Brett Brown was the coach.
So let him be everything.
Yeah.
But he wasn't ready to stop coaching.
No, I don't think he was ready to stop coaching. His wife was still alive. I don't know if she was having health issues. I think he's just rooted so much in the San Antonio area that it'll be interesting now because, unfortunately, his wife has passed. He's older. He's head of USA Basketball. His roots might get uplifted and planted elsewhere.
You probably know this story, Bob, because you've probably been told it a million times, but he goes on the road. So, Pat, they're on a road trip, and he will say, imagine this show went on the road, and Pops would say, Pat, tomorrow night we're in Detroit. I know a great little spot in Detroit. You and I are going to go have dinner after we arrive. And he just takes players out to dinner.
Just like one-on-one?
One-on-one.
And that's
he says,
cool.
Hey, we're going to have our dinner. So we'll go and have a dinner. And on the road trip throughout the year, every single player at one point, he has every single player one-on-one. And supposedly the wine is flowing.
Relationships are really, really important to Greg Popovich from what I've been told. And it's a small, I don't want to say small circle, but once... If he trusts you and you're in that circle, you're in that circle and he is totally devoted to you. We know Pop from the things that he says and from the curmudgeon he is on interviews. When you would get him talking about Brett Brown, it was unbelievable to watch
like
the transformation. Oh, incredible. And when San Antonio would come into town, they'd go to dinner the night before. They'd go for like an hour and a half, 2 hour walk out by the Schuylkill River just to talk, just to be alone and talk.
Yeah.
That's how much Brett meant.
See, that's so awesome.
But that's part of why I defend Brett to a degree. It's like he's not a terrible coach. Like when people call him a terrible coach, if he has the respect and admiration of Greg Popovich, perhaps the greatest basketball coach in NBA history.
Like, that's personal. That's Greg Popovich.
Nah, I think it means something. He's not a terrible coach.
No, he's not a head coach. He's not a great head coach.
I'm just calling him not terrible.
He may be a really good basketball mind, but Greg Popovich isn't the person to ask because he loves him like a son.
Yeah,
Your mentor is never going to tear you down. Your mentor is never going to criticize you publicly. It's not going to happen.
He respects his basketball mind. And that's good enough for me.
He does, but it doesn't
mean... To say he's not a terrible coach. I'm only talking about the people that call him a terrible coach. He's not a terrible coach.
Well, they're idiots. Don't worry about what the idiots say.
Bill Belichick respects a lot of people that he had.
And he's had a lot of bad coaches.
He's had a lot of bad coaches from that tree.
Bill Belichick defends every single one of his assistants, and he's had terrible...
Well, he just hires them back, and it works. It's a good cycle for him.
They're good being... Some people are good in the position they're at. And that's just the way it is.
Not terrible.
So, Howie Roseman. Considered by many to be a pariah, he's an idiot, he's a moron. As I say with Howie Roseman, I will always look at him as there's been a, how many guys have walked through that GM office at the Philadelphia Eagles? Only one of them has led a team to a championship and has put together a roster to win a championship. So I'm always going to give Howie that respect on it. Do I doubt Howie in a lot of ways about a lot of things? Absolutely. But Browns general manager Andrew Berry was a guest on the Ross Tucker football podcast. And by the way, I listen to that often. Love it. Ross, a good dude and really does some interesting interviews throughout the years. He interviews the Browns general manager about all that's going on with the Browns. So they get on to a discussion is, who do you think is the best general manager in the game of all the other general managers? And he says, Andrew Berry says Howie Roseman. Now, Andrew Berry's worked under a lot of general managers. He worked under Howie Roseman for a year. He says it's Howie Roseman. And this is what he had to say.
I do. And I feel fortunate to have worked for Howie for a year in Philadelphia. I think anyone who's been in a general manager's position or been close to a general manager's position has probably an appreciation for the breadth of responsibilities that are on a general manager's plate. I think oftentimes the role is just viewed as like, hey, go pick players in the draft. And really, the responsibilities are just a lot broader. I think with Howie, very smart, you know, good with people, highly strategic, and he's a guy who knows college scouting, pro scouting, contract management, research and strategy, day-to-day operations. And I think it's just hard to acquire all those skills, and it's hard to find individuals that are highly competent across all those football operations.
This man is a general manager. He's worked under, he's had experience with six different general managers in the league. He knows his league-wide reputation. He knows what it takes to succeed better than any of us do, as he's actually gotten to one of those offices. And honestly, it is, that's where one of those things where you go, okay, Howie Roseman has a lot of respect. And I've been told by people who know him well, if he got me in a room, you'd have to, I'd have to be saying, John, don't buy the sales pitch. Don't buy the car. Don't buy the car. He's going to get you to buy the car. That if Howie Roseman's the car salesman, you are going to go in there and you're going to go, I'm not buying today.
It's kind of interesting.
Howie will get you to buy.
The way he said it is kind of what I've said about Howie. And look, I've said in the past that I thought he deserved to be fired because his drafts have been so bad.
And his, by the way, there's no defending that.
No, not at all. But I think his GM mind and his understanding of value and the way he trades, the way he, his GM mind is right. His draft evaluation, whether it's coming from Lurie or him, is terrible. So it is only a fifth of the spectrum of a GM duty.
It's a big part, though.
It is a big part. It's a huge part. And that's why I thought he should have been fired in the past. But I do think the other four-fifths are pretty strong.
The only thing is, you say a fifth. I think drafting for a GM is more than a third.
Yeah, it might be.
I think it's like 40%.
In the pinwheel.
I'm thinking it's like 40%. That's why I get concerned about it is, why don't you, if there's something you, I have a great understanding of money and finance. I love money, love finance. I study it. I've worked in it at a time. I have someone who is an expert give me advice and tell me what to do. I think I know what I'm talking about, but I'm like, I don't trust myself to know more than this guy. Why wouldn't he get somebody and give them the keys and say, you're working for me?
Yeah, one of your biggest things about acquiring players, there's three ways to do it. Draft, trade, free agency. He's horrible at one of them.
And
in a breaking down thing, that's a third of something.
He's below mediocre. Yes.
Yeah, that's a third of something that's really important. He's better than I think the general concept of Philadelphia is.
Absolutely.
No question.
But Andrew Berry's 34 years old. Yes, he's been around the league a little bit. To call Howie Roseman the best GM in the league, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, that's laughable. It's giggleable.
I can tell you this.
You understand that word? Giggleable?
When it is over the years asking Chris Mortensen, next time we have Mort on, we'll ask him. He said, absolutely, in the NFL, amongst his peers, he is considered in a high echelon.
Oh, yeah.
So guys who are sitting in there, there's 32 of those offices. He says, John, the way you Eagle fans talk about Howie Roseman is not the way he's talked about by his peers who understand the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so they know a hell of a lot more than I do, and I go, it makes me doubt, because I just look at the drafting, Jamie. I get hung up on it and say, gosh, how many mistakes can you make?
Well, when you tie up your cap, you need the draft picks to come through and alleviate that pressure, and you need a constant pipeline of youth, and they just haven't been able to do that recently.
I feel like this is an analytical argument. Like,
what do you mean?
Analytics always make you out to be like, I'm 5'3". Okay, analytically speaking, I'm 5'7". It's not as bad as it seems. And we're sitting here going, oh, it's not as bad as it seems, because Andrew Berry, who, as Bob said, is under 40, loves him, and his peers, blah, blah. He can't draft. He struggled the last 4 years to draft. I don't care what his peers think. They don't have a pipeline. I mean, Jamie harps on the Phillies farm system all the time. And it, for rightfully so, the Eagles don't have a farm system either. I mean, they can't draft. So it's great that he's respected by his peers. Awesome. Draft a team, please. Like,
oh, no, I think we're all in agreement there. Every one of us is in agreement there. But the thing is, though, Pat.
But I think he's excellent elsewhere.
I believe the 32 guys who are sitting in the offices as general managers, when they point out guy consistently and say he's one of our best guys,
you have to listen.
They know a hell of a lot more.
Yeah,
than
no, they do.
But I agree with you. It's the drafting thing. I get too hung up on it too.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing. And then when you see stories come out repeatedly from guys that are down there every day that don't paint the most positive picture of a Howie Roseman run Novacare complex, it's hard to listen to some dude in Cleveland. Who, by the way, got the job because Howie Roseman gave him a glowing...
No. He's considered
one of the bright young minds.
I understand that, but I'm saying Howie Roseman probably gave him a glowing recommendation, yeah, so he's loyal to him.
He was a guy who was going to be a GM before he worked for Howie. Like, he's fast-tracked. This guy was beloved. Howie Roseman didn't get him his job.
I'm saying Howie Roseman probably gave him a glowing recommendation. He's probably loyal to the guy. I respect that. But
he worked for a bunch of other GMs too, Pat. Like, he worked for a bunch of other guys.
And you know where they were?
He could have named
Cleveland.
But he could have named them too.
He could have, but they were Cleveland GMs. So why would he?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I said, I believe people when they, especially peers. If you ask me, who's the greatest radio host in our industry?
Jamie Lynch.
Well, I didn't want to choose between the kids in the room. I would say to you, Dan Patrick.
I love Dan Patrick.
And that comes from personal experience. It comes from everything. Dan Patrick, flat out. I love what Colin Cowherd does. I don't like his content, but I like what he does. I admire what he's built, and I admire what he's done. I don't dig the content, the hot take content. It's not my thing, but I admire the work, and I know what kind of work he puts in.
So, yeah.
Don't ask me about Mike Greenberg.
You're right. If you're going to look for general opinion, you look for the peers, yeah. and find out where they are. Is Howie spoken highly of? It seems like he is.
And the one thing is, too, is people make him out like he's a cancer in the building. That's not the reputation. And I've been schooled on that by too many people in and out of that building, that is not the reputation. Though he's had scuffles with players, it's not the reputation that he could get you to, he could sell ice to Eskimos.
Yeah, I think it's a simple solution. Just outsource your drafting, and you're very good.
In the linchpin, Jamie thinks he can tell us what's most important.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, it hit me yesterday. I think the most important thing to watch here in the first two rounds in their hopefully warm-up practice series is what's the closing unit. When you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't see the Sixers getting blown out in any games with their defensive capabilities. They're going to be in some hard-fought games and games decided at the buzzer. And if you're playing a Brooklyn, a Milwaukee, a Miami, whoever, those final 3-4 minutes are going to determine the series. And I think Doc's going to toy around a little bit in the first couple series and try and figure out what his best unit is. Whether, you know, if Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle are out there for defensive purposes, how's the offense going to look? If George Hill's replacing Seth Curry because he brings a little more versatility to that unit and a little better defense, how's that going to look? What's Tobias's role if Joel is getting doubled, and how's the offense going to flow through him? I think that's the thing I'm going to be most focused on here in these first two rounds, is How do they close it out in the final 3-4 minutes? And how long does it take Doc to settle on his grouping?
I will tell you that I believe the Sixers will get blown out at least once before the conference finals.
Really?
There's going to be a game where they just inexplicably get their ass kicked. I think it'll happen.
It's probably more normal than not.
Yeah, it is more normal than you get one of those. I think one of those nights. But I love what you're saying because it's something I've been saying all along. I'm waiting for this team to have gotten into its rhythm and know everybody's role and everything. And I guess now they're waiting till the playoffs to figure it out.
Yeah, and Doc said as much yesterday.
Yes.
He said, look, people say that we have to cut the roster down to 8, the rotation down to 8.
I think he has a lot of options.
And he said, I'm not a believer of that. He said, I won a title in 8, and I played a lot of guys.
He played 10.
He said, this could be a 10, 11. Yeah, I think he's still looking, and I think it's still situational. Look, you play in Washington and Indiana in the first round. Neither one of those teams is great defensively. So that says, okay, if they're not good defensively, why wouldn't I get Furkan Korkmaz some confidence and play him some minutes and see what he does? And maybe it's something I can carry over to a next series or a Tyrese Maxey, whatever it may be. I think you're right, James. The closing lineup, I don't think he's set on yet
at all.
I say 4 out of 5 are probably set, or 3 out of 5 definitely.
Yeah.
But after that, I think it's going to be situational. I love thinking Matisse Thybulle in there.
Well, if you're playing Brooklyn and Kevin Durant and James Harden are just killing you from deep, I mean, I'm not opposed to putting Thybulle out there for defensive purposes. I mean, they have three. This team's going to win a title if they can on their defense. They have 3 of probably the top 10 defenders in the NBA. And to think to not use that would be foolish. So I think Doc has to potentially toy with that idea. If I need a Durant stopper, and I do that in quotes because nobody can really stop him, or, you know, maybe Simmons and Thybulle are on the court together, depending on the flow of the game. It's going to be interesting to see.
When Doc won his title in the modern era, so we're talking this century, his team played the most games to win a title. That team, that 2010 Celtics team, they took...
Didn't they have 3 game 7s?
They took... That Celtics team took 26 wins.
Oof.
I mean, 26 games to win a title.
Oof. So they went 16-10.
They went 7-7-6-6.
Wow.
To win a title. So I wonder if that's why he had to play 10 guys. Because he never had the rest.
I never really thought about that. I mean, I kind of figured what Jamie said was a little bit of a foregone conclusion. You'd use these two series to kind of prepare for the third round and tinker with stuff. I've never been sold on he knows what he's doing with the second unit outside of the starters because of how it ended down the stretch.
Yeah, it's going to be the one. We're going to get a chance to talk to Doc Rivers tomorrow morning.
Looking forward to that.
Here on the Junkie.
Yeah, that'll
and
be
I'll put great. Put his ass on the grill and say, what's your closing unit, Doc?
I think we're going to make sure that Doc gets plenty of time to talk tomorrow morning.
I think George Hill has a real chance to be in that closing unit.
I totally agree.
But isn't that going to be situational?
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, if you need defense.
Okay, so you're telling me, does George Hill being in the closing unit matter by the opponent?
I don't think it does as much. Look, Danny Green has old legs.
Yeah.
Seth Curry, defensively, I'd rather go with George Hill. So out of one of those two, George Hill, I'm leaning towards more. Now, George Hill has old legs also, but they're not as old as Danny Green's this year because he played so late last year and he's played a lot this year.
But if you're only going to have basically Tobias and Joel be your shot makers, then you can kind of concede some other spots to defensive purposes.
I guess I'm seeing...
Because your superstars make your shots at the end.
I believe, to me, just my eyes, and my eyes are not as good at basketball as a lot of other people's. When I watch George Hill, I'm not seeing what everybody else sees.
I think he brings a lot of versatility to that.
Well, he definitely does that. I just don't see the... I'm not seeing it. Maybe I'll fall in love with it in the next 6 weeks. Hopefully I will.
I hear you. I agree with you. It's kind of something you have to look at and say, like, he saw something, a bounce pass here, and he was in the lane. It's a taking a charge there. It's the way he sets a pick there. It's not stuff that jumps out.
And that's where I usually text Bob and say, Bob, what are you seeing here? Because the naked eye, Bob picks it up all. Pat, your friends in Carvana are really...
Yeah, you
they're
guys talked about George Hill and versatility. Well, they're looking for some versatile people, auto mechanics and auto body pros. And if you're looking for to join a winning team, then you need to check out Carvana because they're hiring in Delanco, New Jersey. I had a chance to go out there last week and meet Kevin, the general manager. He sold me on the family atmosphere and the Carvana revolution. So if you're an auto mechanic or auto body pro, apply today at joincarvana.com. Trust me, you won't regret it.
That is awesome. Reading some of our YouTube folks this morning. Now, again, I always pride myself on just being able to say I don't know that. I don't someone else may have a better opinion, smarter opinion, whatever. I read Truth and Wisdom, one of our fine stalwarts here on our YouTube thing. He says John cares too much about what other people think, and he seems to think that we care. And he uses like the seems and we and puts it in capitalization. Truth and Wisdom. You're smarter than NFL general managers. You think you know more than they do. That's okay. You think you know more than they do. I don't. So that's just a difference of opinion, dude. It's just a difference of opinion. You know it. You know more than NFL general managers. I tend to take people's opinions who are informed and take them into consideration. You don't. It's just a difference of how we do things. Let's just get along. Let's just chill a little bit.
Your opinion, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can have your opinion, and then there are informed opinions. It's just good to take both into consideration. And yes, I do care too much about that stuff, though. And you're absolutely right about that, 100% underlined.
I love that, but you're right.
No, he's right on the fact that I do. I put people's opinions that are informed above mine if I think they know more. I just do. I mean, that's odd. In 2021, I know it's odd in America to think that informed opinions might be better than mine sitting in my apartment in Ardmore.
Don't put yourself down.
Yeah, it is. I'm brilliant. I could run an NFL team.
Oh, now you're going too far.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you're right there. Hey, Nick Sirianni, he decided to give the Eagles the easiest offseason in the NFL. What do you think about that? We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, the play-in tournament, it gives some teams one last shot to make the playoffs, but everyone can bet this round risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel has teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith to make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. You got the two games left, Golden State, Memphis, and the big one tonight, who will decide who the Sixers play in the first round, Washington and Indy. Kind of like Indy, I think that's who the Sixers are going to have. The play-in tournament is going down this week, and FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's Play-In Palooza. So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Pennsylvania. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by the sportsbook app of choice for me, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Love those folks. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. And we appreciate you, as they do, being a part of the 7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Truth and Wisdom said thank you for recognizing him as the head of the table. You're one of our most loyal people. I'm trying to think right now, Coach. If I was to go down, if you said up to me at the top of my head, Mr. Snuffy is one of our YouTubers. John Cheeseborough is one. I'm trying to think of the others. Truth and Wisdom. mm-hmm. the people on our YouTube feed that we get all the time
yeah,
that are there. Mopar's. I mean, seriously. Mopar gets his, he gets mentioned as much as Egan on this show.
What do you say, Mo?
There's a Chris Miller Mopar. That's always
Chris
on there.
Chris Miller. Yeah.
And Sean Dennis.
Sean, yeah. too. So we recognize you and we love you. And thank you very much for being a part of the show. So you can get involved on our Twitch.tv and YouTube. Mike does an incredible job putting that broadcast together for you. So we thank you very much for that. And the phone lines are always open for you if you want to get in. 610-632-0975 if you think you can get by Connor. That's the question. Nick Sirianni met with his veteran players. What came of that meeting and other discussions? The softest NFL offseason approach being taken by any franchise. Some other teams are also loosening up things with their mandatory camp requirements and everything. So it's not only the Eagles that are loosening things up, but Sirianni has decided to punt altogether. Instead, they're going to prepare in the classroom. Teaching will be the strategy. By the way, the teachers, the youngest coaching staff the NFL has seen in forever. Again, I repeat, I do not know if Nick Sirianni is prepared for the challenge. I don't know that he's not. I don't know if he's going to prove his doubters wrong. I admire strength of character and people who try to do it their way when they get the opportunity. But I've got the right to doubt it, and to doubt it sort of completely, because when you reject common excellence, common practice, instead of just tweaking it, it seems to me a little arrogant. And it seems to me also like it may be a way to try to curry favor with veterans who don't want that obligation, that they feel they can bully the young substitute teacher. Whatever it is, paint me concerned. That's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat, the coach Eric Camille, Connor answering your phone calls at 610-632-0975, Mike directing the show here on the John Kincaid Show. I'm concerned when a new coaching staff, the most inexperienced NFL coaching staff, by the way, decides, well, we're smarter than the room. We're going to do things that Belichick, Bruce Arians. Wait a minute. You kidding me? The Steelers? What the hell do they know? We're going to do things our way. I'm worried. I am worried. Yeah. I'm worried.
I don't understand. I
less work.
Like, why? Why aren't you getting to know each other? Why aren't you starting with a grind? Why aren't you getting a rookie, I'll call him a rookie, quarterback as a full-year starter, out there and getting used to everybody? Why are you not building a culture? I don't care about the work on the field and the grind of hitting and all of that stuff. I shouldn't say I don't care.
I care less about that.
I want these guys just together. Get together. More than anything, know your coaches. Coaches, know your players. Figure out what's what. There's a bunch of guys that need to learn who number one is, meaning the quarterback. They need to know who Jalen Hurts is. And I'm sorry, but you don't after four games last year.
And you're telling me you know they believe, no, we're going to do training camp. We're going to do our offseason training far differently than these other clubs. So they believe that they've reinvented the wheel. They're smarter than that. And this is the most inexperienced coaching staff in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say it's going to be wrong because we don't really have any data to back that up yet. It's different. Part of me wants to give it a chance. Like the Belichick way, we'll see what they become now with, you know, post-Brady life. You know, they got to, we'll see if it works. You know, I mean, the great debate last year in the NFL, was it Brady or was it Belichick all these years? And this data kind of says it was Brady. So we'll see.
They lost a lot more talent than just
sure,
Brady.
Sure, but, I mean,
they lost a ton of talent. Yeah. It wasn't just Brady.
Would it surprise you if Belichick never wins a Super Bowl again?
No, not at all. But
yeah.
It would surprise me if Belichick ever had a string of 5-win, 6-win, 4-win. See, that's where his excellence comes in.
But I can't say it's wrong. Do I not like it on my gut? Yeah, a little bit.
They're smarter than the room.
I don't
That's
know if
what they told us. They're smarter than the room.
But I don't know if I can go to that extreme either. I don't think it's a cocky thing.
I mean, it's they're doing something different than everybody else.
I like different.
In the NFL, and they are the most inexperienced staff in the NFL.
Yeah, I think they're trying something new. And look, if there's one season to try something new to do this, it's probably this year because it's a throwaway year.
Not a bad theory.
I like the fact that they're kind of currying favor with the vets. What worries me is, do we have another Brett Brown in our hands? Do we have another substitute teacher who, when push comes to shove and it comes time to win games, your vets are going to go, dude, I'm not listening to you. I mean, I control everything.
Every one of these teams has a veterans panel. Veterans that sort of are the liaison mm-hmm. between the coaching staff and otherwise. The fact that the Eagles are having the easiest offseason when you've got a quarterback who's totally unproven and you've got the most inexperienced coaching staff in the NFL, to me, Bob, sees, hey, how can we get along? What can we do to, like, have you guys get along and buy into us? You want an easier work schedule? Okay, we'll do it. Well, it just screams of that to me. Tomlin is laughing his ass off at this, you know, at this, the too much. He lets his players have a voice, then he decides what he's going to do.
Well, here's what I was thinking when we all started hearing about this was I was surprised that the veterans didn't go to him and say, and maybe they will have or maybe they will, and say, no, we need to put in the work because, yeah, okay, you guys are calling it a rebuilding season and you're trying out a new quarterback and you have a rookie wide receiver. We're veterans. We want to win. And or if you're a veteran on a last year contract, I need to put good stuff on film because I only have two more years left and I need a whatever it may be. I can't see veterans saying because of where the Eagles are. I can't see veterans saying, let's pull back on the work.
We know what they did, though, because he talked to the veterans. So this is exactly what the veterans wanted. Less off-season work.
Well, I was, I saw a little bit of the Brandon Graham press conference and the Jason Kelce press conference, and those are your leaders, your veteran leaders of the offense and defense there. And they looked happy as clams. So I don't know if it's something they wanted. I don't know if his way of attacking this is going to be so different that they find it refreshing. I don't know, but they seemed pretty stoked to be there.
I've never seen a new coach that where the players behind a microphone have been like, this is awful. This is terrible. It's always enthusiasm.
Sure.
It's always new start.
Well, if there's anything he's going to bring, it's enthusiasm and energy.
Look, and again, he may end up being Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, we have no idea. I can't wait to see the first game.
I think it's really, really strange when your first move is we're blowing everything up. You mean this is how these are how the winning NFL programs are doing it? Well, we're doing it a different way because we know more than you do.
Well, we know
our way, and our way is going to be better.
Doesn't it also ring in your head that okay, wow, they really are rebuilding this season?
And I like that though, Pat. That was a great point though.
Yeah, I probably should have saved it for 8:00, but
this is the year you can do it. But the thing is, if this season goes off the rails, you know, if it goes off the rails, if your first year as an NFL head coach goes bad, NFL head coaches will get gassed after a year. It's happened now. It hasn't happened ultra frequently, but it's happened.
But it hasn't happened here. Jeffrey Lurie's been pretty patient with a lot of his hirings. I mean, Chip Kelly was a disaster, but even he got, 4 years? The guy who won the Super Bowl got 4 or 5. I mean, that was short-lived. So, I mean, you look at his history, he's given guys opportunities and chances.
I'll go NFL Network. The Eagles' decision to punt. Now, they use punt, which I think sort of editorializing. I think there's something about using that word that sort of skews the argument. It's like,
yeah,
punt,
you're conceding.
But they're like sort of saying, they're making it does. The Eagles will, on paper, have the easiest offseason for their players. Least obligations, least amount of time that they have to be in the building of all 32 NFL teams. So that to me, Jamie, is where I'm saying to you is that is them saying, well, we know how everybody else is doing it, but we've got a plan that's better, that we think's better.
Well,
I love strength of character. I love somebody thinking that they got it. I'm just shocked that you'd have the balls to do that your first year.
Yeah, I mean,
you're rolling the dice because you were a guy who,
sure, he's taking a risk.
And he's a guy who nobody thought was going to be an NFL head. Nobody talked about him being he's going to be an NFL head coach this year.
Yeah, but if he's gathered, over his 10, 12 years in the NFL that
thinks it's there.
If he believes in every fiber of his being that maybe taking it easier in the offseason and giving the players the trust to hold themselves accountable is something he believes in, let's find out.
I would think this approach to me would be an approach that would be taken by a club with a lot of veterans. A club that has already proven that they've arrived. A club that has already shown, I've been to the playoffs three out of the last 4 years. I'm always a contender. I'm a really, really good team. If Bruce Arians said this, if this was Bruce Arians with that Bucs team, if that was a consistent, if this was the Chiefs, if Andy Reid took this approach and just said, everything, we're going to do this, Bob, I'd have no problem with it. I'd say pedigree. These guys have a reputation, and they've achieved something.
I thought the same exact thing earlier. If this was an Andy Reid team his 6 year here,
yes,
I'd be like, okay.
Okay, hey, Andy knows his team.
Donovan McNabb knows exactly what the offense is doing. The defense is all set. Jim Johnson's in charge of that. Like, you're on, I don't want to say on easy street, but you're there where saving the energy isn't a bad idea. I don't necessarily totally understand it, but as Jamie said, it's something different. Maybe it works. But I'd rather have guys in there working.
He's new age. I'd rather have them working too. But once again, I like it when somebody believes that they've got a plan and then tries to implement.
Yeah, right. You'd rather have the guy stick to what he believes in.
Guess what?
Yeah. So
I'd rather have him. I'd rather have him be not be a meek little little mouse heading into the job.
Yeah, this is my plan. I believe in, and we're rolling with it.
But
let's go.
But he is coming in, Billy Big Balls. Right off the bat.
Yeah.
I got this.
I mean, look, I'm in agreement with you. I think if this team had a long playoff run, you made me have this lackadaisical approach. But what I want to see is some of these guys come in out of shape and see how he handles it. Because if you're going to give these guys the leash, then all right.
Hey, there's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement is writing tickets, I should say, not checks. They're not giving you checks. They're writing tickets. So why take the risk? Click it or ticket. It's a message brought to you by NHTSA. Sir, do you know you were doing 45 and a 25?
Well, come on, man.
I'm here to give you this check.
My name's Adam.
By the way, I did run another light this morning.
You're becoming a real bad boy, Lardmore.
Bad boys.
I saw a woman today. She pulled out near Lincoln Drive. Halfway through the intersection.
Oh, that's...
And just sat there. And I'm like, lady, at this point... At this point, just blow it.
Yes.
I'm going to just give you some life advice, and since no one's listening, I feel like I can do this. You wouldn't do well in prison. So I would stop running red lights, because you'd be traded for postage stamps and cigarettes.
It was a stop. Full, complete stop. It's the only thing somebody can come in from the right side on Montgomery Avenue, and the light sits for 45 seconds, 50 seconds, when no one's on the road. There's no one in my rear view, no one in front of me. In either way, no one coming on that road, and the light just sits there.
Wait, you could wait 50 seconds to avoid 50 months.
No, to say, well, I don't want that. After you talked about prison break, I don't want that. Hey, at Wendy's, get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Bob's already frothing for some breakfast this morning.
I'm starving.
He's starving.
But I don't think I can.
I don't think I'm fasting. I don't think you can. But Coach Cooney is in the house. Coach Cooney is going to give us a scouting report on the Wizards. So why do we... What do we have to be looking for in the Wizards, and if they're potentially the opponent here?
Not much.
I like this.
That's how I'll start it. Not much. I mean, Washington finished the season well. Their last 23 games, they went 17-6. Russell Westbrook went off. He was going crazy. He's grabbing 20 rebounds, dealing 20 assists. Again, finishes the season averaging a triple-double. He is what he is, and it's all his greatness. But everything with them starts and ends with Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And in those two guys, you have vastly different players, but dangerous players, you know, to say the least. Beal can beat you anyway, the leading scorer in the NBA this year. He can hit from outside. He can drive. He can create on his own. He's a guy that you might look at and say, let him have his, and we can live with it. Sixers might take that attitude. It might be, well, let's try to shut him down a little bit and let Westbrook get his. Whatever it may be, those two are going to combine for 50 to 60, 75 points, 70 points a game, somewhere in there. The key is what's going to happen with the rest of this team. So here's just a little example. In their game against Boston in the first play-in game, they had those two play pretty much the whole game and do what they did. They combined for something like 43 of the 90 shots that the team took. Their other three starters, nobody played more than 17 minutes.
Really?
They're searching. They just don't know. After those two guys, they just don't know what they have. And that's going to be a real bit of a real problem. Another problem they have is Beal and Westbrook, for as much as they have to do and are expected to do, they turn the ball over an awful lot, to the tune of, between the two of them, 8 a game. And that's a lot. So that's something in the Sixers' favor. What Washington's going to look to do, particularly with those two guys, they're going to look to outscore you. They averaged some pretty good points down the stretch for the season, but they give up the most points allowed in the NBA at 118.5. So you can score on them. Again, it comes back to Westbrook and Beal. One of the things that you have to watch out for is, because they're looking for someone else to give them spark, the two of the guys they get it from, and they're looking to get it from, are former processors.
Oh, God.
And Raul Neto.
That's ironic. Look at that.
And I hated Raul Neto. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Raul Neto was not a former processor. That's unfair.
He was kind of post-processor.
They actually thought he could help them win a championship.
Yeah. Oh, really? Because he was so bad. I just
he stunk.
He was so
he's no Adonis Thomas, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, does he have a little son? Can he give you 10, 12 minutes as a point guard in the league? Sure, I guess. But that's where Washington is.
Sure, I guess.
You know,
sure, I guess.
But the big thing, like I said to you, against Boston, they took the two big guys, Westbrook and Beal, took 43 of the 92 shots. They combined to be a minus 39 in that game. Bradley Beal is hurting. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, John. Just watching some highlights of him in the game last night, he's not moving nearly the way he can. And when you have that hamstring, that leg injury, a lot of times it bothers you straight forward running, obviously, when you're trying to stretch it out. I saw a couple of times in that game and rewatching that his lateral movement was even conflicted a little bit because of this hamstring. All in all, if you do get the Washington Wizards, if somehow tonight they beat the Indiana Pacers, which I don't think they're going to do, but if they do, Sixers in 4.
There you go. Wow, I like
that.
Yeah,
and I really do. They just pose no threat to me at all. They can't stop Joel Embiid a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, Sixers in 4. It's a sweep.
So there is the Washington scouting report. If you tune in next hour, you'll hear the Indiana scouting report, and I think you've heard it right there.
You might have to go play some bets on a sweep.
That probably sucks.
I think that's
Bob
in order.
Just told you something that maybe you'll get better odds before more people start jumping on here.
Yeah, I got some funny money from my Steph Curry prop last night.
And that was easy?
I thought it was
not easy.
Well,
not easy.
They boosted him from minus 165 to plus 220 for more points, assists, rebounds than LeBron. And I was like, this seems like a trap, but I took it and it
that
wasn't.
That did seem like a trap.
By the way, Steph's over under last night, 36.5. 37 points.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
Connor had Memphis giving 4.5 last night. They wound up winning by 4, giving up a kind of a late bucket.
I am hoping we're going to be able to do, when we go out to Vegas, do the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes, just to see and you observe. And you don't even get to go. You can't like walk between cubicles. You can't, but you can observe the areas where all the people behind the scenes are calculating the lines and doing all this stuff. It's freaking amazing.
I want to look these cowards in the face.
It's amazing. No, they don't even. And guess what? They've been wiped. They're like blacklists.
Yeah, they're soulless.
They're like blacklisters.
They're soulless.
They honestly, they've given these people like secret identities. They live in a bunker because they just look like.
Their names are James Smith. They have no family.
I can tell you this, though. They look like Ivy Leaguers.
Bunch of Andrew Berries.
They look very much like they're going to work to decide either. You know, is there going to be a real estate deal done today or something? It's amazing.
We talked about aliens yesterday on the show. Now we know where they are.
By the way, I did watch the whole report last night, Jamie. Thanks to you. It was really well done, the aliens thing on 60 Minutes.
Oh, okay.
It was very well done.
You buy it?
No. I mean, I don't know how much. I don't buy that it's aliens, but I do buy that. I guarantee. I mean, what they saw and what they're speaking of. But they have no idea if it's aliens.
No.
I believe it's secret aircraft. And there are numerous incidents.
Iron Man.
There are numerous incidents where the U.S. has flown in experimental aircraft at night.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, when people have noticed it, when commercial airliners have seen it and gone, we think we've seen aliens. And it ends up, we find out years later what it was.
This sounds like something an alien would say.
Could you be an alien?
Oh, no, you're going to put this on me? No,
that
no.
would explain
well,
a lot.
That would be the deflection. If I was the alien, exactly. I'd be trying to make you the alien.
Exactly.
You know what? I'd be most likely to be an alien.
Yeah, no,
both
that's
of you are explain a lot.
I think you're going to get argued.
most likely to be an alien. I think that would work. Well, if load management is such a big deal, why don't we insert it into other situations here in town? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
Not too many things in life come risk-free, but if I offered you something, would you take it? It's Eric Camille, and Twin Spires Sportsbook is now live in Pennsylvania, and they've got an unbelievable offer for you. New players can download the Twin Spires app now and unlock a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just use promo code FREE1000, and you can bet with the Kentucky Derby of Sportsbooks right from your phone, right in the palm of your hand. Bet on all the major sports risk-free for 7 days when you download the Twin Spires Sportsbook app and use promo code FREE1000. Download PA's newest online sportsbook today and get a 100% profit boost on all NHL playoff games, NBA playoff games, the PGA Championship, which starts today in South Carolina, baseball, soccer, and a lot more. It's a great time to be a sports betting fan. Download the new Twin Spires Sportsbook app and bet today. Must be 21 and physically present in Pennsylvania to bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on a Thursday. That means Wendy's will be in the house eventually. At Wendy's, you can get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
I'm eating Bob's today.
Okay, if Bob does have to, you know, if he has to get, you know, a little blood pulled so he can't do this, so Jamie, we will try to be respectful. Pat, don't munch right in Bob's face the buttery, delicious, like, biscuit. If you have one of those, like, you know, with the delicious chicken on it.
I'm going to rub that biscuit all over my face and call myself a bitch. Right in front of Bob.
There you go.
Interesting.
Just in front. Or if you're having one of those, like, slightly with a little tinge of salt and peppery feeling, those crispy potatoes, Jamie, don't crunch them around.
Okay.
Because he is a little hungry this morning.
Can't do anything about it. It's great. Sorry.
We just want to be good for our partner
here. Tell.
We want to be really taking care of Bob. Like, I'm not usually hungry
jerks. In the morning.
We're really jerks to each other. You know?
I didn't schedule this doctor's appointment today.
Yeah,
he did.
Bob was disrespectful to you know, Wendy's.
Yeah, there's Monday, there's Tuesday, there's Wednesday, there's Friday.
They gave me the
appointment. Or, as I was saying incorrectly, there was, for a few weeks, it was Monday, Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday. But hey, if load management is truly something worthwhile and provides great benefits, then why are we not employing it with a guy like JT Realmuto? I'm most certainly not advocating for this because JT in the lineup is a fantastic thing. But if you're a believer in load management, it's got to work and it's got to happen. Continuing to play him as often as he does behind the plate has historical, provable detriment to his long-term Major League Baseball career. So why wouldn't you want to roll back the odometer a little bit? It is now almost the dawn of the universal DH, which is going to help. I'm a guy who hears the whole load management stuff, and I tend to roll my eyes. Again, because there is no definitive science to it. LeBron plays 82. Someone else plays 68 because they say they have to. If the modern day athlete is somehow less able to handle the rigors of an NBA schedule, when the players are better conditioned than ever before, I'm going to translate it to Major League Baseball. They're playing 162, and catcher is by far the most shortened lifespan of a Major League Baseball player. Do you know the second, Jamie Lynch just quickly questioned, do you know the second
most physically strenuous
in Major League Baseball?
Outside of pitchers?
Outside. Pitchers out of the
pitcher. Okay.
Position players. Catcher is the one with
shortstop.
Center field.
Huh.
Then shortstop. That's very good. By the way, I'll thank the ESPN Stats and Information.
For that. I like that. Okay.
I'm thinking of long-term with JT. Maybe not this year, but we'll have a universal DH. But isn't it time we started to consider a little more time off for him? If this load management thing, the little Nicky injuries with him are starting to add up.
They are. They are, and it gets scary, and we've talked about him maybe first base, DH, if it ever comes in, you know, filling in here and there. I said yesterday, I think maybe you have this year, although he's been out for a little
while.
I thought this year might have been a 135 year that you could get out of him. Maybe another year also because of the way he wanted to play last year. But yeah, when these little nicks start happening, those things usually start happening when you hit around that 30-year mark.
And that's why the 5-year contract to me was ridiculous.
Yeah, so.
But it's where I want to worry about this because when he's in the lineup, it's a much better team.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a much better, it truly is.
Yeah, I mean, the hope with him is he's kind of a physical freak for the position in terms of being more of an athlete than a catcher in the way he runs and all that. I just looked at Yadier Molina's, you know, career stat line, and he was pretty consistently, you know, 135 to 140 a year, even up to, like, he's still doing it. He did 123 2 years ago, 115. So, you know, maybe that 120, 125 number.
He is the absolute outlier, though.
Probably, yeah.
Now, in the modern era, he's the absolute outlier.
But I think you give JT that chance to see if he can match that, and maybe now he's telling you, maybe I need to dial it back a little. I would say 125 is a good number for him.
Does this mean Reese Hoskins has to go at the end of the year, Pat?
No. No, not at all. Because
okay, when a universal DH, we're in agreement.
Yeah.
That next collective bargaining agreement, there will be a universal DH. Players Association wants it. They're going to fight for that. I don't think the owners will fight against it.
Great.
So if Reese Hoskins is on this team, what are we doing?
He starts at first base.
Okay, so then you can...
You do have a log jam with three guys.
Your universal DH is probably going to be, you know, you're able to kind of sit them without sitting them because of the DH spot.
So you have the luxury. So some days you give Hoskins the day off, he's the DH.
And then he's the DH.
Real Muto plays DHs.
Maybe catches 85 games, something like that.
I would want to catch it more than that.
Well, but they have a very competent backup in Knapp who calls a really good game. So
don't ask Andrew Salchunas that.
I've tried to talk him down from that stance.
I have no idea.
Because I used to hate Knapp. I'm a reformed Knapp hater.
Really?
Because he was taking over Cody Bellinger, and I couldn't get over that.
Yeah, well, like, it wasn't the best draft pick in the world, but like for a backup catcher,
he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, he calls a really good game.
Yeah.
He gives you virtually not a lot of play.
Just missed one last night.
He did. I am of the belief that Alec Bohm, you have 3 years to learn how to play third base.
Yeah, he better get better.
I'm going to live and die with him. He's not going to get better if I take him out. He's not going to get better if I try to throw him at first base. See what he's got. Last night, he had a line drive, went off his glove. He kind of looked a little awkward going at it. It would have been a nice play for a third baseman. I don't want to say it's a play that he should have made.
Could have.
But, yeah, could have, and I have more confidence that he wouldn't make it. So, no, I need him to learn the position, and I'm okay that in the future, you're going to have Hoskins and Real Muto doing a lot of DHing with the other one maybe playing first base.
Do you believe you've seen improvement from Alec Bohm at third base?
Slightly.
Pat?
I don't think he's nearly as bad as you guys make him out.
He's not good.
No, wait a minute, though. We're not taking it to the extreme.
Yeah.
You said he was the worst third baseman you've ever seen. No, I said Reese Hoskins is the butcher.
Oh, he is the butcher.
Oof. Bryce Harper, what the hell was that last night?
You know, some guys struggle, John.
What the hell was that?
He's not reading anything.
I mean,
seriously,
what's going on?
He missed some cookies.
What's going on? I mean, his defense is subpar.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's suboptimal. He's a young man.
Which is weird. It was good the first 2 years.
He's a young man in his prime. And there should be none of this. It's a vision thing, Bob?
I think he's hurt.
I,
What would that have to do with his eyes?
What is that? Yeah.
It's his eyes.
I don't know.
He broke the wrong way on a ball. He broke back on a ball.
Well, he's done it a couple times so far.
That's funny.
My eyes is what I'm wondering.
Well, do you wonder if he's hurt and Jamie says he's hurt? If you're hurt, you're not moving as fast as you want to, or you can't throw
as well as you want to. Your body's not where your eyes think they should be.
Right, but where do you want to go first? You want to shorten everything.
Yes.
So when a ball's hit, I want to go back because I don't want to have to throw. I want to have to come up on a ball because I don't want to throw it that far.
Right.
So I guess his first reaction is every time a ball's hit near me, I'm breaking back. And maybe that's and due to that's the injury.
I think he's a grinder, and even if he's hurt, he's probably one of those guys that I'll play through it for the sake of my team. And sometimes it's like, well, dude, you should probably.
Do you admire the grinder? I've always admired it.
And yes.
I've been told by how many athletes over the years that that's so stupid.
Yeah.
The guys hurt their teams by not wanting to come out. But as a fan.
Yeah, you love it.
I admire the guy.
I'm like 75-25 like it. But that 25 is like, all right, dude, well, you're not really bringing much to the table here.
But his bat's been good.
I like in principle.
In principle.
Yeah.
But what you guys just said, you get in there and you rarely help the team.
It goes back to the Cal Ripken thing.
Well, Cal Ripken.
You know, it's like, really?
Should
he be playing every day when he was hurting and you had other things going on? But is it admirable? You know, I don't mind as a manager being able to write a name in there.
Did you read that book on that streak that he had days? And in his book, where he had days where someone else had to tie his cleats?
Yeah, it's...
You shouldn't play. But you still go out there because of that number.
Yeah.
So you couldn't, in the locker room, bend over to tie your own cleats. You were having that much pain that day.
Yeah, I called BS on that.
Oh, so you think it's one of those stories?
Yeah, you can't bend over to tie your cleats.
No, I think it was verified by teammates.
Well, then how the hell is he bending over to grab a baseball?
He's going to be out
there. The game adrenaline gets you, I guess.
I guess Toradol.
That's weird because I'm very torn where I admire it so much, the grinder. Like, to me, I look at that and say, man, that's impressive.
Yeah.
This guy wants to work every day, wants to play every day.
And that's Bryce. He's gonna play through injury to the most that he can. But it can be detrimental, yeah.
And it can be detrimental to the team, too.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, you'd always want a grinder opposed to somebody who calls out with, like, the weirdest excuse in the world. And it's like, at that point, you go, that person just doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have the person who does want to be in there, does want to work, than the person who calls out.
Totally.
I think it seems like that would be the strategy.
Yeah.
What? In the linchpin, Daryl Morey has a suggestion for the Sixers.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, so Daryl Morey had a tweet that went out, I want to say last Friday, Thursday maybe, and I kind of had been stewing on it. And I heard Andrew and Cuz get into, should Brett Brown ring a bell during the playoffs? And I went, no, he shouldn't.
No.
But the guy Daryl Morey thinks should give the bell a ring, I support. I think it would be a cool way to bridge the relationship back to not horrible. And it's Sam Hinkie. Now, look, Sam worked under Daryl in Houston. They have a personal friendship and relationship. But I think it would be a cool way to repair what shouldn't have been a fractured relationship. And I think Sam loves Joel Embiid and where they are right now. I think it would be a cool thing. And I'm not one of these Hinkie Brigade turbo nerds.
I was surprised Anthony's such a cult member. I mean, he is a full-blown cult.
Well,
member.
I mean, look, it's the best Sixers team I've seen in my lifetime, so it's hard not to.
Not him.
Not Anthony.
That's like Sixers huge. Not even close.
So I support Sam Hinkie coming in. I don't know if the team would to ring the bell. I think it would be pretty cool. What do you guys think?
I'm biased. I hated the whole thing, so I...
No. So you're out.
No, I'm out.
Bob?
I would love to see it.
Wouldn't it be cool? The place would go nuts.
Joel would go nuts. There might be some backlash. Like, there might be some non-processors in there that might
Why would the place go nuts?
Kind of boo. Because there's a lot of... Well, look where they are.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are honest, it's the result of what he did. I think it would be... I don't think Sam would do it.
He seems pretty...
He's not the guy looking for the accolades.
But if Daryl called him, he's like, Sam... Come, man. Enjoy the fruits that you bared.
Now, did you say that Maury put it out there?
He put it on Twitter.
Yes.
That it would be cool for Sam to come ring
so
it.
So that almost tells me it's arranged.
That surprises me. I would be shocked knowing Hinky the way I do that if he would do it.
I would be too, from what I've heard from you and Anthony and some others that have, you know, had personal relationships with him. I think it would be phenomenal. I really do.
I would love it. I don't think he'll do it. But I'm all in favor of that. I'm all in favor of having Brett Brown ring the bell. But, you know, bringing those guys back and showing appreciation for what they were able to do. Look, I'm not the biggest Brett Brown guy, but he was the bridge to get you to where they are. And with Sam, I think it would invigorate Joel.
Yeah.
I think it would really get him pumped for the game.
I think you're right there. Joel loves Sam Hinkie. It would be cool.
We're getting John on board. I can see it in his
face.
Yeah, we're getting John.
I think you are.
No, I mean...
Well, John, let's play a game. Adonis Thomas or Sam Hinkie?
Adonis. I mean, come on. No, I get that it's a complex discussion.
I just think it would repair a relationship that should have never gotten to where it did.
I absolutely could have taken that business model and completed it.
And then we can have Barb Bettini the next night.
Yeah, Babs. Get Babs in
there.
Because
she got Brian fired.
Allegedly. Then it would have been text night, though.
The ultimate scenario would
she can
be
text in her bell ring.
Have they ever done that here, by the way?
What?
Have they ever done text night at the game? Where they put the texts up on the Jumbotron?
Oh, not that I'm aware of, no.
Yeah, they have text night.
That sounds dangerous for the city.
I would like to do, for the John Kincaid Show, a Tinder night. Where we give singles tickets and they come on out and we have a Tinder section.
Well, you just got Connor's attention.
Could very well work. You know, I mean, it's just a little action.
The ultimate scenario would be if they win a championship this year. Opening game next year, Sam Hinkie comes back and rings the bell. Like, if you do it now before anything's really been accomplished.
Correct.
If we're looking at it in the...
Yeah,
I think it would be cool to bring him back. And if they brought him back for this playoff, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. I think the ultimate thing, though, would be opening night after winning a championship.
Yeah, let's not forget this.
That would be cool.
The floor of expectation. The absolute floor.
Yeah, nothing's been won yet.
Is getting to the conference finals.
Sure.
That's the basement. So you don't bring Sam Hinkie, should not show his face.
It's not my idea. It's Daryl Morey's.
No, I guess, and
I just support it.
It tells me that Daryl Morey knows that this has already been discussed.
That's a good point, though. If I don't want to waste the Sam Hinkie juice.
You can't have it early.
First two rounds.
Because they haven't accomplished a damn thing.
No, you save it for the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's what I'm saying. You save for this year. But, like, who are you getting then?
Game one. John's on board. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals, bell ringer. If he comes in for the Eastern Conference Finals, you okay then?
No, because just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Get to the NBA Finals? I think I'd maybe understand. With all of your passion for the man, if it was NBA Finals, I think I'd be
Let's work our way up. Let's have Johnny Davis ring the bell in game one, and then, like, Jahlil Okafor in game two. You just work. You slowly build to Sam Hinkie.
Yeah, Nerlens thinks he's defensive player of the year.
I know that.
He was a sixer for 12
minutes. Zoo has rung the bell.
I think I have claim.
Has Ala Abdunabi done it?
I'm sure he has.
He has.
I think I have claim as the worst person to ever ring the bell.
You rang the bell?
We did it. Anthony. Bob was there with us, but didn't want to do it. He gave it to me.
No, it's not that I didn't.
There was four of us there from the... So you're not the worst. There was four of us. And...
The four of you were
then
there.
Then I'm second worst.
Wait a minute.
Yeah!
They let you ring the bell?
Yeah, the morning show. So they did three rings, and I said, you guys go ahead and have it, because
I was
the new guy.
Okay, that's a freaking awesome thing.
It was cool. It was awesome.
Okay, that's an awesome experience.
But I'm going to put in my LinkedIn profile, worst person to ever ring the bell.
I've never heard this.
But you're not.
I've never heard this, Pat.
I'm sorry we forgot to tell you. Probably because you were talking.
Jamie and I aren't braggers.
The amount of nonsense that you guys blather about 24/7.
Well, it's something that he's not proud of.
By the way, before the show, in the hour before the show, I think I say three sentences, and you guys never breathe.
Not even close.
You guys never breathe. Stop breathing. You don't come up for air.
That is not even accurate. Oh,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What color is the sky in the world you live in?
It's blue. Before the show,
I only say three
sentences.
I'm sitting
right. You guys
are
into these.
We're out.
And you guys are constantly just all of them. I'm sitting here working.
Uh-huh.
I don't even walk with you guys.
Totally.
And you guys are like, and then it'll be, who's closer to Pat's steaks? which I got last night, all night long, like two teenage girls.
You didn't want that argument in your phone?
No,
we'll start about that. You were adamant about it yesterday, so I had to clear it up.
And by the way, I thought you still ended up being...
No, I hit it wrong. I'm 16.1, or 12.1, he's 12.2.
I will say this, though, is I was disappointed. I'm going to say it wrong. I will say this. I was slightly disappointed in Bob last night.
Oh.
Reason being why. Bob doesn't get into the idiot discussions that we tend to get into. Bob tends to vacate the idiot discussion. Bob tends to be like, seriously, you guys are arguing about this, and we get into some stupid crap around here.
Yeah, you
tend
do.
To be the you tend to be the one who sits out.
I want to be more like you guys.
No, you don't. You want to be less like us every day. You prefer.
No, that's not true.
But it was surprising because I've never seen Bob. We can get into Jamie and Pat and I.
All right,
can get into minutia idiotic stuff.
So, I cannot stand putting furniture together.
Okay.
I can't stand
Don't ever go to Satan's Highway up there.
Oh, I hate it. And my wife will do it for hours and hours and hours on end. So she's doing it last night. I went and helped a little bit, but then she's kicking me away because I have no patience.
So I'm sitting there,
and I have nothing to do. So I texted Pat, and I said, Pat, what's your address? And he sent it to me, so I checked out the distance from Pat's house to Pat's stakes, and then I checked out the distance from my house. And Pat is closer by 1/10 of a mile. And I just felt like...
But out of the way.
I had to put it up there.
I literally had to pass the station to go to Pat and then circle back.
But that wasn't the question yesterday. The question was who's closer.
You're wrong. You're still
and
wrong.
You're closer.
No, you're still wrong.
I'm not wrong. How am I wrong?
According to the text message you sent, you're wrong.
No,
I worded it
technically
incorrectly.
Bob's right.
No, he's not.
Bob is right.
Who is closest? If you say, who is closest to a place?
No.
Yes. They're simple, Pat.
John, it's not simple because... He sent a text message saying that he was 12 points.
Yeah, but he wrote it wrong. He worded it wrong.
According to who? According to him.
I'll pull it up on my phone right
According
here.
To him.
Okay, check this out. Coach can be the arbiter. Coach needs to be the arbiter of the two addresses.
See, this is good day, sir.
We will check this out and find
this
out.
This might be our low point. This might be the dumbest conversation.
No.
No, we've had way worse than that.
We've done worse.
Oh, gosh.
The dumbest
yes.
today.
It's the dumbest today.
It we may had be something the, like 2 days ago that was ridiculous.
It may be the dumbest of
Oh, we did talk about tripping on cat pee, so that was pretty low.
Yeah,
what was that called?
Cheesing. We've had some pretty dumb. You're right.
Yeah,
I got to walk that one back.
It starts and ends with you.
I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore of, you know, if we could do a show on the... No, we won't be doing that, but...
Let's get it on the poll.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's check that on out. All right, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Obviously not Wendy's breakfast, though, at the moment.
No, I've been emailed. It's close. Cowper has emailed. He was waiting on pickup.
Come on, Mr. Cowper!
I'm going chicken biscuit today.
You think you are?
Yeah.
We'll see. Nice. I think Cowper's going to surprise us this morning with something like... He's getting some really heavy sandwiches. Can't wait for it. Bob, you're not going to miss anything. Just buttery, flaky goodness.
What an idiot.
Seriously.
You got blood work today.
You got blood work on Wendy's day.
What a loser.
Buttery, flaky goodness.
You nerd.
If there's one of those croissant sandwiches in there, I may lose a finger. I've been waiting for it all day
it's
long.
It's going to be good. I can
Look
taste it already.
We'll have Coach Cooney's scouting report coming up on the Pacers, and you've already been told he thinks the Pacers are coming at it tonight. So look forward to that coming up around 15 minutes past the next hour. But coming up, I'm begging this franchise to turn the page. But I'm also then saying to you, what else needs to have the page turned from it? We'll get to that in the second half of the John Kincaid Show. Ricky Pitalico at 9 here on The Fanatic. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app gives you such great availability to be able to get in on that on in-game wagering, which is fantastic. How about this one for you tonight? You've got the Phillies taking on Miami. Very slight favorite. Bet $129 to win 100 on Philly, so that's not bad. But Vince Velasquez, he's been pretty awesome. The Washington Wizards are 3.5-point favorites tonight. Winner of that game is going to be facing your Sixers. You've heard Bob say he likes Indiana. He'll tell you about it coming up in a few moments. We've got some lines for Saturday. Milwaukee, -5 versus Miami. Line came down 1.5 last night. So people are moving towards the Heat. Look, these are the kind of things you can do. And the Knicks 1.5-point favorites over Atlanta. Make sure you get on in. Use the risk-free bet of up to $500. Download the app or click parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC You'll absolutely love it. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We appreciate them being part of the show. So I got back to the desk, and I'm reading some of the comments in passing here. Coach, could you please explain why people are talking about what underwear we wear? Is this one of those?
What the hell?
I'm just looking at. There's a screen full of discussion about what underwear we wear.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, Bob, nothing at all.
Okay, what is this, Coach? Can you tell us? Is this part of tomorrow's hijinks and festivities?
No, but if you follow the chat board, weird stuff happens.
So sometimes somebody brings up something, then it just goes all off the rails.
Yeah, yeah. And right here, Mopar is saying, I think Jamie wears gym shorts over. Gym shorts over gym shorts.
No, you don't.
No.
And then that.
If Mopar wants the details, the best underwear in the world are those Tommy Johns.
Tommy Johns are great.
Woo!
Those free ones are great.
Well, Chris Miller said, I wear boxers with Phillies designs on them. And
do
I would
you
say,
or do you not?
Well, obviously, because I got to support the team.
But you do not. Do you wear. So there's gentlemen discussing our underwear choices. And by the way, it's so funny when you get people that, you know, you get what people think. Mopar is the. He says, I think John is a Dolce and Gabbana guy.
Ah.
Mopar, remember this.
Get that image out of my head.
I am a Dave Ramsey devotee. If you do not know what that means, I am a very frugal man when it comes to spending. And no, I am a Hanes bought at Marshall's or TJ Maxx, the Hanes colored briefs.
I can't believe we're actually talking about this.
This has gone into a whole
Sixers.
Discussion.
Not yeah. white, right? This nobody goes white.
No white. Sunday.
That's way too
Who's
dangerous.
Who's doing white? Yeah, it's too dangerous.
JD here says that it's part of the game since it's game day today.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Which of the four is wearing tighty whities, Pat?
I don't think anybody's. I don't think anybody's wearing tight.
With or without skid marks, says Mopar.
Oh, geez.
Wait, the person saying that I am or demanding that
you
I
you look like
me.
A whitey tighties guy.
I don't think he does at
kinda.
All. I think no. ratty boxers.
Yeah,
I would think
him.
Ratty boxers.
Mm-hmm.
Pat rolling out of bed. Look at Bob. He's just a resting Bob face. Like
Bob's a commando Bob, man. That's yeah, why he's not
yeah,
chiming
exactly,
in.
Exactly. Yeah. Bob's going to sit here and do his like little sports thing because.
Yes.
You know, he can't commiserate with
we
this because he doesn't wear anything because all he does is have
Pat,
sex and watch sports.
Pat, I asked for it before. We need the sound effect of a car screeching like being brought back onto the road and everything. Is Bob bringing it back to sports?
No, I wear the Hanes longs.
The longs.
I like the longs. I got a package.
Boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs, absolutely. Go. The longer, the better. I like them hanging down low, tight to the thigh.
You like that?
Yeah, have said. A pair on right now.
Bob's going to show us.
They're black.
There you go.
Longer is better,
blend.
Bob. Yep.
All right, there
so,
we go.
Yeah,
there
feel
we go.
Good
see
in
that?
Them. Not
see what you
comfort.
Did, John? You
us.
Took us down this path.
No, it was our YouTubers. It's the absolute YouTube crew. By the way, it's a Thursday, so that means Wendy's will be in the house eventually. Get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. So, where we begin, we've got Coach Cooney coming up in just a few moments to give you a scouting report on the Pacers, and he already has told you. And Bob, I anticipated this. I anticipated you were going to lean towards the Pacers, and that's the way we planned it today, which is good. So you'll hear about the Pacers, who Bob thinks could be a little dangerous tonight. Be watching. So there are times when some things just need to be retired. Just a short 47 years ago yesterday, and if it was 47 years ago today, your dads probably were still nursing a major hangover after the Flyers had won a Stanley Cup. Unfortunately, the celebration of that event continues still today. I'm suggesting that the Flyers help turn the page, create a new day, and truly transform the franchise. Drop the Broad Street Bullies tag. Stop it. It doesn't make sense anymore. In fact, it relates to a period of time when anyone under the age of 45 wasn't on the earth when the Broad Street Bullies existed. It is a grasp for history that is so outdated, makes no sense by the way this franchise plays the game in the modern era, that I think if you want to transform, you want to remarket, you want to reimagine your brand, this is what you do. Icons don't need to reinvent. This franchise does, big time. So I'm asking you, should it go? And come to think of it, are there any other things attached to the current Philly sports landscape with the teams that should be retired? Because I've got another, one more. The devotion to the underachieving era of Buddy Ryan.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is one that really needs to be just it's one I don't like. We don't use shut up in our house.
How many playoff games did he win, John?
But it's the one of those ones where I'm just like, shut up. When I hear the Buddy Ryan people, I'm like, just shut up. Seriously. So be on board, and you can join us, too, at 610-632-0975. So I ask you on the first one first, and by the way, tune in to YouTube today for game time. You want to be on YouTube today during game time. I'm just giving you a little hint that YouTubers are going to really enjoy today. What happened?
Know? He's in on it?
We were told we were not going to like it. You know? You got
you, you're in on it?
No,
we
I was
told anything.
No, I was told urge listeners to turn into you to turn into YouTube.
Okay.
No, I do not know. By the way, we do not know game time, and we're not kidding you. When
underwear
we say
talk, trying to get people to YouTube.
We do not know.
This stinks.
The guy walking around in a gimp mask.
Pat Egan did.
Matt Farrell doing here.
Pat Egan did such a damn good job. In the first month of the show, I said I never want to know about game time again.
Well, this isn't me. This is our bosses. This is Coach.
Yeah, Chuck had an evil look in his eye yesterday.
Well, I didn't sign off on that.
But I know what it is.
I trust you.
I know what it is, and you're going to want to watch it.
Okay,
on
don't miss it. So I don't miss it. The bosses I don't trust nearly as much as I trust Egan. So Bob, I ask on this first. Let's take a referendum here. Should the Broad Street Bullies, should the Flyers stop with that? Broad Street Bullies. If you are 44 years old, you were not on the earth when anyone, like when that team even existed.
Right here.
I'm 39. Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. Stop all reference. No, I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
stop the reference to the, you got to move on.
Yeah, they should have moved on 30, 40 years ago.
Well, that's why I'm saying
ago,
now,
exactly.
Just please
yeah.
do it. Rip the Band-Aid off.
But what are they moving on to?
That's
see, they
the
don't
question.
Know. That's their problem. They haven't had an identity since then. So they did a really neat thing for people that weren't around. They did a thing back then where nobody ever heard of it. And you talk about copycat leagues now and stuff. The Flyers did this goon thing, which the whole NHL hated.
And they hated
were
it.
Brutal. Fights galore. You can't imagine how intimidating that team was. But they had enough talent also to win games. And it was a combination of that nobody had ever seen the likes of. All right, it was great. It was innovative. Fred Shiro did something nobody else ever did. It won you two Stanley Cups.
It had a three-year window.
Three trips to the finals. You lose to the Canadiens, get swept in 76, and then it ends. And since then, they've never been able to find an identity. The closest they came was when you were with them, John, in the 80s, where you had young, good talent in the Tockets, the Zezels, the Hextalls, and you sprinkled in some veterans with like a Mark Howe or stuff like that. But you had something there, and you were on the precipice, but you had a guy named Wayne Gretzky in the league, and you weren't going to overcome that. Then they became a big team again, and the NHL got fast. Then they tried to get fast, and the NHL got big. And then they tried to add in veterans when people were grooming youngsters. They've just never been on to what they were supposed to do to make it last longer.
Broad Street Bullies go?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Now, I understand, too. Isn't that the name of the bar?
Yeah, down at Xfinity Live.
Like, I mean, that makes it hard.
It's not Broad Street Bullies. It's just Bullies.
Oh, it's just Bullies.
Yeah.
See, that's
it can exist. Just don't cling to it as much as they do.
Like, I mean, I don't think, and I love Bernard Marcel Parent is one of the gems of this community.
Oh, he's a treasure.
He's spectacular. Spectacular human being. But you got to find another way to market your club.
Yeah,
going
I just
back to Bernard.
Don't know what that is.
Is it?
It's
okay.
Been such just stuck in the sand franchise
Pat,
for 30
agree?
Years.
Rusty Boys,
1,000%.
Okay,
move
like,
on.
No, don't have. Oh gosh, I feel terrible. I'm not trying to be dismissive here. Hartnell. Don't have him on there going, and they're playing Flyers hockey. Flyers hockey, there is no definition of Flyers hockey.
No.
And certainly it's not big, tough, intimidate you for this franchise.
No.
They don't. So drop that too. The Buddy Ryan one to me is my most absolutely annoying.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain this entire time to find another one.
The Buddy Ryan devotees in this town.
I go back to that. As
they will eventually die off is what I can tell you is they will eventually, you know, find their time and die off because it is the most inane, stupid.
It's one of the greatest defenses thing. Ever.
Absolutely. No questions asked. It is also one of the most mismanaged eras in Eagles football. And one of the most embarrassing.
Yeah, and they had a talent in Randall Cunningham at, you know, on
Randall
the back.
Randall was freaking wasted.
Yeah.
He was wasted.
And you saw what happened when he went to Minnesota. Granted, he had Chris Carter and Randy Moss, but he was throwing bombs.
He was wasted by a man who had no idea about how to delegate and let the offensive side of the ball do anything. And to me, it's not an era to be celebrated. The defense is. If you want to say Buddy Ryan's defense, sure, absolutely. But the long begone, but Rich Kotite came in 1 year. Rich Kotite should be like, I don't know, should be like, you know, be a, whatever it is.
Ring the
just
bell?
Doing anything.
No, yeah, that's how ring the bell.
Well, if you're long, you're letting on, you know, other people do it. I would say to me that's one that I can't get over that Rich Kotite came in 1 year and won a game. He came in 1 year and won a playoff game.
The weird thing was Buddy was fun. And people let the fun override the true success because the true success didn't happen. Now, he was part of a rebuild, and it was funny because he said, my starting running back's number 34. Don't you know who that is, Buddy? He's got a long name. I can't pronounce it. Exactly. 34.
And people thought it was so charming.
And people thought it was charming, and he did have that defense that Philadelphia just loves. But he negated other areas that could have made the team really successful.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Tell you what advertising does to you. Every time that I have to do that Liberty Mutual.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Well, that does that with jingles in
my
head.
Oh, my God.
No, Liberty Bibbity. I always go to say the, because remember the one with the, hi, I'm a professional actor, and I'm here to tell you, and he kept screwing up the lines, and he goes, Liberty Bibbity, and every time I see it, in my head, I want to say Liberty Bibbity.
Yeah, I got the damn jingle in my head.
Matt in Bucks County joins us. Matt, what's going on, brother? You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, folks, thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thanks, man.
Number one, I'm a Flyers fan, and I agree with your assessment. I concur with everything you said. The beauty of human is progress and change. And I'm a 38-year-old, but I feel like, you know, 47 years ago, it's time to move on.
I mean, it is, but is there something, I mean, what can they change to? I mean, they have no identity.
I agree. I don't get paid the big bucks. I feel like that's Fletcher's job, and the men at the front office, that's their job to figure out. I'm just a fan that wants to love and support the team.
That's awesome.
And watch good hockey. Number two, what I'm about to say is sports blasphemy. I'm going to get blasted by my friends. I feel like it's time to move on from the Dallas Cowboys-Eagles rivalry. I feel like the geographically...
I like where Dallas, you're going.
Well, go
Dallas
on, go on.
Is not in the East geographically, so I feel like the Dallas Cowboys should not be in the NFC East. Let's move on. Swap them for a team in...
Screw NFC the Giants. East.
So more you're talking like more geographically.
Correct.
Okay.
I feel like most of the NFL is set up geographically by division. There are a few exceptions, Dallas being one. And I just think it's time to move on.
I've heard, you know what? I've heard Jamie and Tunis discuss this on Bong Boulevard's favorite show, Wake and Bake, on Sunday mornings. You guys have gotten into this discussion.
It's not even close for me.
Tunis says Giants.
I hate the Giants.
You guys have you're in your age group.
Yeah.
You have a visceral dislike for the Giants.
Yeah.
Because you've seen them win Super Bowls.
Yeah. And the rivalry, you know, they had some great battles going back to Strahan and Runyon and... The Eagles have frankly dominated them in the last 26 games, winning 22.
Bob and I grew up seeing Dallas win Super Bowls.
Yeah, but getting to know New Yorkers, too, adds to it. Like, I love going at it with New Yorkers. It's fun to me.
Well, we're going to hopefully have months of it.
Yeah, and I don't know any Dallas fans.
You don't? There are cockroaches everywhere.
Yeah, but I don't know them.
And they don't know themselves.
They don't know because they jump in and out.
Yeah, the New Yorkers I know I can put faces to, I can hate.
The Giant fan is never going to leave the Giants.
No.
The Cowboy fan in this area is going to hide out to when the Cowboys are good and go get themselves a new freaking hat at Rally House.
Depending on what the Yankees are doing, you know.
Exactly.
And the Lakers.
Or the Lakers, too. Yeah. Depends on what they're looking at there. The Sixers getting ready to take on an opponent, and it looks like we know it'll be decided tonight. But Coach Cooney's going to tell you about the Pacers. And it's pretty clear, Bub. You think we're going to be talking about the Pacers tomorrow morning?
I do. They're riddled with injuries. There's no doubt about that. They are riddled with injuries. But they're playing better basketball, I think, right now than Washington. So I see them winning tonight. I'm not scared of Indiana. I think it's going to be a tough series. And here's the reason. My first line. They're an unorthodox team with a left-handed big man who rebounds and passes. I don't care what league I'm in. I don't care where I'm coaching or scouting or playing. Any team that has an unorthodox team with a left-handed big man who can score and pass and rebound, that scares the hell out of me. I don't like left-handers. I hate left-handers. Nobody knows how to play against left-handers. And when they're big men, they have a tendency to draw other big men into foul trouble. I don't think that Domantas Sabonis is going to give any fits to Joel Embiid. But he's going to be a little bit of that fly in your face, the thorn in your side, the hemorrhoid, the toenail, the thing in your tooth. He's going to be all of that. And that's something that you have to just keep an eye out for. This is a guy that's averaging 20-12-7. Those are pretty good numbers.
Somebody called him a superstar the other day. One of the ESPN guys. I was like, all right, calm down. Calm down.
Yeah, superstar.
Calm down.
Again,
he's a nice player.
He's a very, very nice player. What they do is that they have a cool backdoor straight line offense, which means they can put Sabonis up high. Normally, if you close your eyes and think of a backdoor, you're going to think of a guy on a wing, brings his man out, cuts backdoor, boom. They have a straight line backdoor offense where Sabonis will be up top, and they'll have a guy straight line cut down and beat his man off of a side pick, and it's a backdoor that way, and they run it really, really well. It's a team that offensively will frustrate the hell out of you because they can, especially their starters, they can hit three-pointers. But when they're not and they're playing that inside the three-point line game, they run some really, really cool stuff where they'll get those backdoor layups that I'm talking about. Now, they're not a great team. They're 34-38 on the year. They were 5-7 down the stretch.
And they're banged up, as you point out.
And they're banged up. LeVert is out.
They lost Miles Turner earlier.
Malcolm Brogdon is day-to-day. He played the game the other day and got 16 points. It was his first
game since
April 29th. But he's got a hamstring. LeVert's out for protocol. And Turner's out with the toe. There's no timetable for him to return. So they are struggling a little bit. But the things that they do, they shoot 47% as a team, 79% from the line. They're not a great rebounding team if you look at the numbers. But here's why. That 47% that they shoot, they don't have to rebound off of that because they're really good shooters. But they're really active. So they tip balls. They're just active. And Sabonis, if I haven't said it before, he's left-handed. And people don't know how to box out left-handers either. So their starters, you have to keep an eye out on because they love to shoot three. Then when you get to their bench and people are going to roll their eyes, T.J. McConnell's been a real, real, real good spark plug for this team. And I mentioned the numbers yesterday to you, John. I'm going to mention them again. Over the last 10 games where he's had to step up a little more with the injuries to Brogdon and LeVert, in 30 minutes a game, he's averaging 13 points, 7 assists, 2.5 steals, and shooting 59% from the floor.
That's fantastic. I said it.
He's also the leading stealer in the NBA. I'm not saying T.J. McConnell's a great defender, and if he has to cover anybody on the Sixers, I'm okay going one-on-one. But talk about a thorn in the side. He is just that defensively.
I am on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app right now, so I will be...
I'll tell you why not to be worried.
So you ready for it?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Sixers and six.
I don't even think it'll go that long. I think 5.
Okay.
Here's why. Dan Burke, he's this guy. He's an assistant coach under Doc Rivers. He coached in Indianapolis for like 23 years.
That's a great point.
He knows everything that team does. He knows everything that Sabonis does. He knows Brogdon. He knows them all. And he's the defensive guru for Doc Rivers. He's going to have them knowing everything Indiana is going to want to do. So I think he's an equalizer, 6-5.
There you go.
Boom. Dan Burke, MVP.
I personally think either way it's going to be 5. But we'll see tomorrow morning. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, Brogdon and Sabonis are really good players.
Man, and they can score some points, that team.
Pat, yeah, and they can let up some points.
Yeah.
Pat, I always think the everyman, you have a very good touch with the everyman as far as understanding what it is. I want to get your thought on this. Jericho Park says to me, old heads have been trying to bring back the Kelly Green jerseys for decades. The Eagles did nothing but lose in those colors. We did nothing but win in the midnight green. Can we just stop it?
No.
I got to tell you, I would be in his old head category, but I'm not. I absolutely want no parts of the Kelly Green coming back full time. None.
I loathe the Kelly Green.
See, I would take it as a throwback jersey that maybe if they let them go one a year, you wear it one game a year.
Yeah, they alternate.
You do it at
home. I think that's all people are asking for.
But I do not know.
It's a better helmet.
No, there are people that signed a thing the other couple of years ago.
Not full time.
People saying that they wanted the Eagles. No, they're asking.
They just want it back.
No, they want him to go back to it. Kelly Green.
Well, whatever.
That's ridiculous.
If there's a Devontae Smith Kelly Green jersey, I'm buying it. It's a better helmet. The silver pants were awesome.
I think
the argument's tired at this point.
I love the Eagles jerseys.
I love the Kelly Greens, I'm a young head.
I love the midnight green.
Nah, you're old. You're 39.
Yeah,
I like the midnight.
The
green.
The Kelly Green helmet is superior.
It is a fantastic throwback to youth, but that team sucked.
But I can't associate a jersey with the ineptitude.
That's all I do.
That's
the Sixers.
Dumb.
Anthony said to me the other day, he goes, "What do you like about the Sixers?" He goes, "What do you like with Sixers?" And I said, "Red." Because I associate it with a great era of Sixers basketball from my childhood. So I say, that's what I like. The Sixers in red brings back that feeling like they're going to go in and they're going to kick somebody's ass.
I prefer the Kelly Green.
You want the Kelly Green.
I like the silver.
All they did was lose. All they did was,
it's a different regime.
My high school colors were Kelly Green.
Oh, well, then there's a little bit of
I'm
that,
I'm Irish.
Too.
Give me the Kelly Green.
All right. Helmet.
We need you to get in for game time.
It's game day! Oh, no.
It is game time coming up at the bottom of the hour. And we have been told if you can get to our YouTube channel, 97.5 The Fanatics YouTube channel, it will be extra fun for you today. So make sure that you do it. Get involved next. 610-632-0975 on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. So, growing up, I loved cereal. The nuns told my mom that I was bouncing off the wall, so I was not allowed to have sugar cereal. So, I didn't have Magic Spoon, Coach. If I'd had Magic Spoon, Betty wouldn't have denied me good-tasting, delicious cereal.
It's not just for breakfast for me now. Last night I was settling down to watch a little bit of NBA action, and instead of going for the chips or the popcorn, I actually grabbed my box of Magic Spoon and was eating that for a snack. 0 grams of carbs, 14 grams of protein, 140 calories per serving, and for anybody out there who is watching their carb intake, Magic Spoon is keto-friendly, 4 net grams of carbs, and it's delicious.
Cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and you can get a variety pack, 4-pack, and you use the promo code Kincaid to check out. You will save $5 off. Listen to Coach. It's good for you. Listen to me. And even coaches went over now. It tastes great. Check out our friends at Magic Spoon. Save $5. MagicSpoon.com/Kincaid.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Dandy! All right, if it's game day, do you want to play or not? The phone lines are open for you at 610-632-0975. And we are talking about, Pat, best prize offerings ever in game time. I think it's fair.
They're very good.
Okay, really, really good. Much like our Wendy's breakfast. You got the classic sausage, egg, and cheese, or the classic bacon, egg, and cheese, paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. I think it's the best prizes we've ever had for game time, too. So you want to get in at 610-632-0975.
Chuck's got a real devilish look about him, doesn't he?
By the way, got to give the boss credit, and you don't like to really do that in life, but you have to when he changed up the Wendy's order. And man, when I say outstanding performance by Wendy's today, I think, Jamie, they may have put a little extra butter on the biscuits today.
Something magical was in that bag.
I mean, it was
unbelievable. Maybe they were just made with more love today.
Maybe they were. They were just...
Yeah.
I think the seasoned fries, a little extra seasoned.
Oh, talking about something we can all talk about.
Like that. Hey, so 610-632-0975 to be able to get yourself in on Game Time, to be able to be a part of it. Let's get to it.
It's Thursday morning at 8:30, which means Game Time. Today we are playing What's in My Mouth? Now, here's your master of ceremonies, Pat Egan.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
No. What is it?
You can play.
No, I can't. Right. What the hell is this game?
Seriously. You got to be blindfolded to play this game. It is called What is in My Mouth?
Okay, I'm telling you right now. If there is a bug involved, I'll kill somebody.
I had it stiff. There's no bug involved, and it's not that kind of game. Don't worry. This is a PG show, but it's pretty simple.
No, what did they have that show? What was it called?
Fear Factor.
Fear Factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, you guys are going to have to be blindfolded. We are going to also put like a clothespin or something on your nose so you can't smell it. All right. And then you guys have to guess what is in your mouth. If you guess correctly, and the caller on hold wins a fabulous prize. So it's pretty simple. We're just going to put something in your mouth. Could be absolutely anything.
Who's placing this in our mouth?
Well, you are. I mean, we're going to...
I don't need Chuck Tans in my mouth.
Don't worry. Hey, we're going to put a plate in front of you.
Spit it out in
there? Yeah. Seriously, we're worried about, you know...
This is ridiculous.
I like this game, though.
It's not ridiculous. I think you need to take some advice from Mike.
You got a cucumber in your rectum? Loosen up.
We're having fun.
It's
all right?
Game time.
So you can get in at 610-632-0975. We have a $25 Wendy's gift card to give up. We have a couple other things, some awesome tickets to go see Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer.
And
then we have $100 to one lucky winner. All right? So we are going to start off with John. Now, John.
Yes.
Our boss, Chuck, is going to place a plate in front of you.
Oh, he's putting a plate in front of me. I'm not looking at it.
You are going to put the item in your mouth. They're going to guess.
Oh,
and
God. I have a gag reflex.
Jamie, please, shut your mic off.
Jamie, would you stop?
I can't see you guys.
John, you are going to be playing for Raj and Yardley. Raj, are you confident that John is going to be able to guess what's in his mouth?
Not at all.
Well, let's see.
Wow, okay.
John?
That's what she said.
Do me a favor, put whatever it is that's in front of you.
Where is it?
Are we swallowing?
That's a dangerous question.
I prefer to swallow.
No, I'm serious. Are we swallowing? You can spit it out if you want. Just Jesus. You're
do I get overthinking it? So I'm putting a spoon in my mouth?
Yes, really? Describe the taste, Johnny. What do you got? The facial reaction.
Oh, my God.
You love it, don't you? Huh?
Oh, God, it's horrible.
He's a good boy.
It tastes like mayonnaise-y. God, it's terrible. It's like a... I know what it is, because it's got to be. It's that repulsive. Oh, my God. That is the worst taste. Ranch dressing is in my mouth.
Let's find out if that is, in fact, what's in your mouth.
That is what's in your mouth.
Wow. Oh. You got it right, John.
Guess what? That is so horrible. That's worse than I imagined.
I have to give out the prize, so please stop complaining.
I'd be happy if I got ranch.
Jamie, shut your mic off. Raj,
do I have a napkin?
I have good news for you.
Napkins too.
Raj, you didn't have a lot of faith in John. John had a lot of faith in you.
Sorry, Raj.
You are going to win $100.
What?
And Raj is getting a signed puck from Brian Propp. Plus, you're qualified for the grand prize, a 5-pack of Brian's Guffaw cigars from Bancroft Neuro Rehab, Rebound, Recover, Reconnect. Learn more at bnrinfo.org.
Why'd you give somebody who didn't get it right?
No.
Okay. Right. I'm just saying.
Coach, I need you to put him on hold.
There you go.
I can't put him on hold from over here.
Good job.
So wait.
Oh, my God, that is terrible. You guys like that stuff.
Ranch?
Oh, my God, it's horrible.
Yeah, ranch is good.
He gets it right. It doesn't matter.
I don't love it, but it's not repulsive.
Guys, it doesn't matter if the caller thinks you're going to get it right or not.
Oh!
If you get it right,
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. And we're going to move on.
It's complicated stuff, Pat.
We're going to move on to Bob. Put it in your mouth, Bob.
Okay, here we go.
Shove it in there.
I have a feeling I know what this is.
Put it in, Bob.
Just stick it in your mouth.
Stick it in your mouth.
Swirl it around.
Taste it. What is it?
What do you got, Bobby?
Oh, wait. Cottage cheese.
Oh!
So I didn't even bring up who Bob is playing for, because that's a bad job by me.
Yeah, that's bad.
Bob, you are playing for Dustin and Willow Grove. Dustin, do you think Bob knows what's in his mouth? He guessed cottage cheese. Think that's correct?
Yo, Bob, why do you hate left-handed people all of a sudden?
All right. All right, Bob, you guessed cottage cheese. Let's find out if that was in your mouth.
That is what's in your mouth.
Yeah! Bob is correct. Dustin in the Willow Grove, you end up winning a $25 Wendy's gift card.
Wow.
That's a pretty great item right there.
And
right?
You're going to love breakfast at Wendy's. Those folks are awesome.
Yeah, we actually just enjoyed it. So you get you can have a $25 Wendy gift card to get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese on a classic or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with a small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. So that's what you end up winning.
I hope I get a Clementine. It's an inside joke, sorry.
Okay.
Jamie, you are the derailment today.
I can't see you, John.
Stop.
Stop what?
Just stop. Let them play the game.
Oh, my God.
Coach, I need you to put them on hold.
Come on.
I'm sitting here blind, shoving something in my mouth.
All right. This is a disaster.
Let me live.
Jamie, shove it in your mouth, please. And Jamie,
yes,
while you're doing that, you are going to be playing for Shane in Nazareth. So, Shane, as Jamie shoves something in his mouth, do you think he's going to get this right?
Not after hearing that he has a gag reflex, no.
All right. Well, Jamie, what did you shove in your mouth? What's it taste like there, bud?
It's very familiar.
Well, that could be a lot of things.
Oh, man, why can't I name this?
Pat, that was subtly mean. I like it.
Get it together, Jamie. You messed up last week. Come on.
Jamie, what's in your mouth?
What's in your mouth, Jamie?
Ranch with something in it. There's some crunchy bits in there.
Ranch with something in it. What a description. Jamie, hate to break it to you.
That is not what's in your mouth.
What is it?
Jamie, what is in your mouth right now is called tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
Damn it.
Love tartar sauce.
Sorry, Shane.
Jamie, you don't do tartar sauce?
No, I do. Sorry, Shane. It's a bad job.
Okay, so, John, you're going to be playing next, and you're going to be playing for Bob in Conchi. Bob, now, you've got John.
Okay.
John is putting the item in his mouth right now. Bob, do you think that he is going to get this right?
Yeah, he's going to go 2 for 2.
Okay, all right. Now,
that's a choke on it.
No,
choke on it. Look me in the eyes, Johnny. Look me in the eyes and choke on it. Johnny, what's in your mouth, bud?
I just want to see him right now.
I'm telling you, if that's freaking cat food or dog food. It's cat food or dog food. I know the smell.
All right, let's find out if it is indeed cat food or dog food.
Oh, that's messed up.
That is not what's in your mouth.
Yeah. I apologize to Bob. What you have in front of you is cold split pea soup. So a gazpacho. Nice little gazpacho split pea.
Oh,
you love it.
No, I thought, God, that was terrible.
It's so much worse when you can't see it.
That's the best part.
I hate peas, though.
Bob, you are
up. Who hates peas?
I hate peas.
Bob, you're up next, bud. And Bob, you are going to be playing Ryan in New Jersey. So, Bob, as you shove that in your mouth, Ryan, do you think he gets this right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Bob, put it in your mouth. Don't fight it. What do you think it is?
Oh.
It's not good. It's not horrible. I detect a little onion.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
I'm going to say it's, I'm going to say it's some kind of an onion dip.
Okay, so let's find out if that is indeed what's in your mouth.
That is what's in your mouth.
That now the description actually is a balsamic caramelized onion hummus. We're going to give it to you.
It's hummus.
We don't expect you to actually guess that.
Way to go,
so
Bob.
Congratulations
Bob.
To Ryan. Ryan, you're going to end up winning a pair of tickets for the Hella Mega Tour featuring Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer on Friday, August 20th at Citizens Bank Park. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. So congratulations to Ryan.
Hummus? And he gets credit?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy for Ryan.
It's a dip. Is it hummus not dip?
It's a dip.
Yeah, it's a dip.
It's not an onion dip.
Okay, dip. Stop stalling, Jamie. Wow. Shove it in your mouth, and you're going to be playing for Matt in Bethlehem. So, Matt, do you think Soy Boy Jamie gets this right?
Nah.
All right, Jamie.
We'll take a wild guess.
Jamie, describe what's in your mouth.
Damn
right
it,
now.
Again, it's familiar. I'm horrible at the blind taste test. This is some kind of wasabi.
How about sex positions?
What the hell was that?
Well, unfortunately, you really suck at this game.
Yeah.
It was
that
not wasabi.
Is not what's in your mouth.
No, it was going to be wasabi something.
It's cocktail sauce.
Unfortunately. Jamie gets like the two best.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. I suck at this.
Yeah.
Jamie's got the two best things to put in his mouth.
Okay, John, you're up next.
And John, you're
going to be the last one, Johnny.
You have really. Huh? What am I doing? Okay, here.
All right, John. So if Jamie and Bob want to take their blindfolds off, you guys can, because at this point, John, you are going to be playing for Matt in Chichester. So, Matt, as John is shoving something in his mouth, do you think John gets this right?
Oh, I'm confident.
Okay. Johnny, describe what's in your mouth, bud. Describe it in detail. What do you got in there?
Well, I can smell it.
Well, great.
I would just say someone hasn't been to the doctors lately.
I would not eat poop.
Oh, my God.
You love it.
Guess what? This smells like cat food also.
Your eyes are watering. What do you got?
Give a guess. Pate?
All right. Is it pate? Let's find out.
That is not what's in your mouth. What the hell is it? And remind me never to put it in my mouth again.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I'm going to need you to do is take your mic off or take your blindfold off, please. Okay.
Speak into the mic, bitch.
Okay. You've got beef baby food.
Oh, my God.
Beef baby food.
How did you not get that right?
Who's that? Okay. I got to tell you, I'd pay $5 right now for some Listerine purple. Oh, my gosh. That is beef absolutely.
How do you not get beef baby food correct?
I did not. Hungry. Oh, that is terrible.
What do you usually put in your mouth?
Oh, my God. That is absolutely freaking terrible. I can't. I will not get those tastes out of my mouth the rest of the day. That was unbelievable.
Oh. Unbelievably great.
You guys did a great job. You did a great job. You can take off your blindfolds.
That's what we are going.
You're dying now. You take off your blindfolds.
And you don't even need to go to our OnlyFans for that.
Because I think that was...
You just got that for free on YouTube.
Guess what? The second one made me cry. Like, it literally made me...
The goal is to get your eyes
both
watering.
Both of them smelled so bad.
I'm mad at myself.
Jamie, cocktail sauce.
I know.
You got the 2-3-foot putts.
The tartar sauce, it was a little weird. Cocktail sauce I should have had.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a bad job.
The baby food.
If we want to talk about who has the best palate, I guess we know who it is over here.
Bobby the Sheik.
I mean, I don't know. You said onion spread, and it was hummus.
No, but it was with onions.
Come on.
Jamie, do me a favor. Stop trying to bring somebody else down because you sucked at the game.
Hey, very good, man.
I did suck.
Good job.
Hummus and onion dip.
You guys a spectacular job with that every week, and we appreciate everybody. Seriously, I've never.
Who hates peas? I didn't know that.
I hate peas. Now, you know what, though? I like.
Is it the mushiness?
I like the flat. Yes. Everything with me is my wife right now, when she sees this later on YouTube, she'll say, You ate what?
Beef baby food, hon.
The fact that I ate ranch dressing, I have never in my life. It just, the smell of it repulses me.
Mm.
And I
it smells like a used diaper.
What is it? Okay, now that I've had ranch dressing, what's the appeal? It had like a...
I don't love it. Some people love it.
It had a smell of sour milk. And it was like... And then it tasted... Once the taste hit my tongue...
There's a sour aspect to it.
Yes. It was awful. That was awful. It is
pizza crust and ranch isn't bad.
That is as bad as I expected it to be. As I've always dreamt it in my mind, don't eat ranch. That is exactly
really?
It.
Well, luckily.
I don't do a bunch of condiments.
Luckily, we have Wendy's out there, so you guys can cleanse the palate. Everybody but Bob.
Holy moly.
I got my water.
Great job.
Never mind, Ricky told me he ate it all.
Ricky Bo will be in studio.
So you're screwed.
Ricky Bo will be in studio with us coming up at 9, too, so it'll be good to see him. In the linchpin, while I gargle, I'd kill for some Listerine right now. This guy is retiring.
I have gum.
This is the Linchpin.
Yeah, Marv Albert's, Albert, called it quit after 55 years of working in the NBA. He started out, I believe, as a Knicks ball boy, worked his way up to play-by-play man. And then, for me, when I think of the voice of the NBA, I might be in the minority here. For me, in the 90s, it's Marv Albert. Like, when I fell in love with the NBA and those Knicks-Bulls series and the Bulls run, the Rockets run, I think of Marv.
Yes!
I hear, yes, all the time. Like, he is, to me, the voice of the NBA. And I was curious, if we went around the horn, who everybody's voices of the four major sports are. So I'll start with you, John. Who is the voice of the NBA to you?
It will always be Marv Albert.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in the minority.
Yeah. With Marv, to me, even though I am such a Mike Breen fan.
He's great.
Huge fan.
He's really good.
But Marv, to me, is more... Breen is more subtle. Marv is more...
Over the top.
Not now.
Well, but yeah, not Gus Johnson, right. But
he's not,
yeah.
He's not... Hey, not Gus Johnson! That is a first down in the first quarter of the game, and it's 0-0, and Gus Johnson, he's yelling about it. Isn't it great?
It was the voice.
First third down conversion of the game, Gus Johnson. Freaking out.
Yeah, I guess it has to be Marv.
Really?
We almost sound begrudgingly, and I feel bad about that.
Yeah. Well, he does wear, you know, garter belts and women's panties and all that. It was a weird period
for
Marv.
Dick Stockton back, like, a long time ago when he was pretty good running through things. And you had, like, Bill Russell and Jimmy Heinsohn and all those guys. Tommy Heinsohn. Brent Musburger was there for a little while.
I never associate Brent with
NBA. I don't associate NBA either.
Yeah, because he came such more college football.
Yeah, and NFL.
Yeah.
Is it Marv?
I guess.
It's Marv.
Kind of impressive. I thought I was going to be in the minority
I always think, too, and for the old heads out there, I think of the old days. Who used to do the games with Tommy Heinsohn? Remember when Tommy Heinsohn used
to do? Yeah, I think it was Dick Stockton.
It was Dick Stockton.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing, though. But what are the other sports, though?
The NFL, for me, is Pat Summerall and John Madden.
Pat Summerall to me.
Pat Summerall and Tommy Brookshire.
NHL,
I guess I would have...
Doc.
Oh, my God.
It's Doc.
Yeah.
There is no other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could... Gary Thorne had a little run, but...
Gary Thorne had a run as the second.
Jack Edwards had the ESPN gate.
No.
But, yeah, it's Doc.
It's got to be Doc.
It's Doc.
That may be the most slam dunk.
It's either Gary Thorne or Doc, but I lean Doc.
It's Doc.
I love Gary Thorne, though.
Guess what?
Oh, I love Gary Thorne, too.
Love Gary Thorne.
Why do you guys hate Gary Thorne?
No, I love Gary Thorne. It's Doc.
Doc's the nicest man in the world, too.
He's so unbelievable.
And then, finally, is baseball. And I don't even like my answer,
I know who you're going to say.
Don't say it.
Say it, you coward.
Don't say it.
And say it with your chest.
Don't say it. Do not say it.
Say it right. Say it right in John's face.
Guess what? Say it and just get up and leave. Get up and leave for the day.
Jack Buck.
Okay.
Oh, son. His son.
No, don't say his son. Hi, I'm Joe Buck. And let me tell you how the breaking pitches are working tonight. Oh, you've got John Smoltz there in the thing? Why don't you let John Smoltz tell me about it? And why don't you let Troy Aikman do the analysis?
Now that I've triggered you, who's your voice of baseball?
It's hard.
It is a tough one.
Vince Scully will always be my voice.
Sure. But he didn't do enough national TV games.
Did he? He didn't do enough. No, he didn't do enough.
Who's the guy that's out in San Fran now?
John Miller.
Yeah, John Miller's great.
The only thing is, though, with John Miller, is John Miller purposely, sort of like Ricky Pitalico did with Nick Maton, John Miller purposely mispronounces people's names. Like Andrew Jones. He would call him Andrew Jones.
I'm in the minority. I couldn't stand John Miller.
And I'm like, why are you calling this man Andrew Jones? His name is Andrew Jones. It's not Andrew. Just because you don't do the pre-show and understand. And he would keep doing it.
Well, you gotta understand. Andrew Jones wasn't that great of a player. So why would you learn his name?
Andrew Jones wasn't a bad player.
I'm kidding, guys. Jesus. Of course you should know Andrew Jones' name.
But is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I think so.
Borderline, but I think so. Borderline.
Ricky, thumbs up, thumbs
borderline.
Down.
Borderline. Ricky.
Andrew Jones.
He says thumbs up. The greatest
fielder.
The greatest defensive weapon, him and Ken Griffey Jr. in the modern era, the best defensive weapons in the outfield.
So, Bob, who's your voice of baseball?
I was going to go Miller, Vince Scully's good, but again, you're right. He didn't do as many national
I would have loved if he did more.
Yeah.
Jack Buck, to me, then. I'd give Jack.
Yeah, I miss Jack. But I'll go with his son.
So I'll go Joe Garagiola.
Ah!
I don't even know who that is.
I see, that's terrible.
Ricky remembers. Oh. Who's he partnered with? Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek.
Tony Kubek.
Yep. There it is. Ricky knows. He's on it.
Yeah, I forgot Andrew Jones.
We were little kids.
He had 51 one year.
Correct.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yes. Steroid year.
Ricky wants to know about Mel Allen.
All that more on this week in baseball.
Not for a play-by-play of games.
What about Red Barber?
Yeah, exactly. Ricky probably wants the Kelly Green. He's probably in that Kelly Green squad.
He's a Tampa fan.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Tampa Brady.
with the flamboyant pirate with the knife in their mouth. I said he likes that. Look, he's pointing to rings. Yeah, he's got the rings. Tell you. There you go. Good job, guys. By the way, we say it every week, but Egan, Coach, Chuck got involved this week and everything.
Oh, I did nothing, so don't
give me credit. Oh, you did nothing?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay,
you hosted
so
well.
Wait, so it was just Chuck this week?
It was Chuck and Coach.
Okay, these guys do a great job every week with Game Time. And a lot of stuff that we end up getting credit for or getting told has nothing to do with us.
We have literally nothing to do with it.
We just show up and do it. So great job, guys. You do a really nice job with that.
Way to put stuff in your mouth today, guys.
Oh, my gosh. I'm swearing to you. Bob Cooney, though, continues to just be the freaking MVP because he hands gum to me. And I just chewed two pieces of Mentos gum and it's gone.
There you go.
That ranch dressing,
I got a tartar sauce left over.
And the gazpacho, I've had gazpacho and I've never had that just taste. Maybe the not seeing it intimidates you.
Yeah, it does. It freaks you out.
No question. I thought so I was going to get a tomato.
I thought you were too.
I thought you absolutely. When the game
I wanted to see you puke.
I thought Bob was having a tomato.
If you want to see the outtakes, head to lobstertube.com.
There you go.
Don't go there.
All right. Yes, please. All right. In the 9 o'clock hour. Wait a minute. He's coming in from the pen. Make the call. Ricky Pitalico joins us next, and we'll talk about whether he could have wondered why players can't now pitch and hit. What's the problem? John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. My friends at Window Nation have got you covered when it comes to cost and quality. Window Nation has got you covered, saving you thousands more on your windows compared to those national brands while delivering you the same level of absolute service, proper fit. They clean up your house after they deliver the windows, but let's get down to business. It's the deal. If I told you your house would look better from curb appeal, your energy bills are going to drop big time. You're going to feel more comfortable in your home. You're making an investment in it. But you have to put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for 24 months. You're listening to me, right? You should. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com, and that's where you can do your window shopping. Get it? Windownation.com. Two free windows for every two that you buy. So buy 20, get 20. Buy 10, get 10. Plus, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. It's a spectacular deal, and you want to do it now. Look after your biggest investment, your home, with my friends from Window Nation. Call them today, 866-90-NATION, because Window Nation is the perfect fit.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You have to use the bonus code PATEGAN100 when you make your first bet. And then you're able to turn one under par into $100. So sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds, specials, and so much more. Trust me, you're going to want to be on this app during the NBA playoffs and the NHL as well. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. When you do, don't forget, use bonus code PATEGAN100 if you want to win $100 in free bets if any golfer makes a birdie in the PGA tournament. This is a new customer offer. It's paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You have to be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Now, back to the John Kincaid Show.
You may not officially be one of my analyst cousins, but I do consider you part of our family.
On 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Love you more than I do on a normal day, Bob Cooney. The gum did the trick.
Yeah?
Got it all out of my... Yeah, fantastic.
Got it all out of your system?
Oh, my gosh, that was terrible. Hey, the Bagster is a dumpster in a bag, and that's our 9 o'clock hour sponsor here on the John Kincaid Show. You can get your Bagster today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com to be able to get yourself a Bagster and be ready for things. We've made the call to the bullpen. And Ricky Pitalico joins us.
Welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Really good.
Actually, smells like you guys flushed it out the other end.
It was right a...
Wow.
Not really good?
I guess Bob didn't make it to his room.
Weird, no, so many
Bob
weird smells. There are weird smells in here today, though. It was a strange game.
Well, he's eating beef baby food.
I think putting
can't smell good.
Gross.
I think putting a blindfold on and being told, taste this.
It's tough.
Because
you're lucky they didn't handcuff you. Then
seriously, trouble. Do you ever sometimes where somebody says, "Here, this is so awful. Eat some of this."
I've had people say
that. And I'm like, "What are you doing to me? Why would you want me to eat something that's terrible?" You're telling me it's terrible.
People used to do that a lot.
Here.
Like, oh, this doesn't taste good. You taste this.
Taste
this.
Coach, how do we have Ricky Pitalico in studio with us?
He is brought to us by TwinSpires Sportsbook, now live in PA. Download the TwinSpires app and unlock a risk-free bet of up to $1,000.
There you go. Ricky Pitalico
there you go.
In the house. He's in the house.
Come on, guys, wake up.
I'm just telling you right now, Ricky, that the lack of offense is disturbing because this team's starting pitching, I completely underestimated it.
They're good. I told you 1-3 is good. And Vinny has been doing Vinny stuff. I mean, I don't look at 5 innings as an ace. Okay, I look at 7 and above as an ace.
I'm saying competent. He's competent.
Guess what? By the way, I put down a finger. What do? You throw that pitch. Bing, bing, you are the winner.
Sometimes it's that simple.
It only took him 5 years to figure that out.
Don't say he's figured it out yet.
At this point during this year. By the way, I never go there.
Is this one of the longest stretches you found yourself thinking Vinny Velasquez looks like he's got something figured out?
Factually. It is.
I always hate that, though, when a guy gets bagged on.
Here?
Terribly. Gets bagged on, and then he puts together a streak, and everyone goes, well, you know, he's been really, really crappy for years. Let's just wait. I want to celebrate him a little bit, because the guy, if he turns on any radio station in this town, he gets crushed.
For anybody who's talked to Vinny or even has been ever around him, he's a great guy. I mean, I think that's the thing that bothered a lot of people around here. Like, you know, Vinny's a great guy. He comes out, he tells you how he's feeling. He tells you what he's doing. He tells you what he's doing wrong. Well, let me just put it to you this way. The way he's been throwing right now, just keep an eye on his mannerisms on the mound, because that will tell you a lot about which direction the game's going to go. If he's walking around and tapping his cleats and busy with something other than pitching, he might have an issue coming up.
It's never been a physicality thing, right?
No, not
never,
at all.
Ever, ever.
Not at all.
So, who's the biggest person to turn that around? Vinny, obviously, is the biggest one to turn that around. But is it part JT? Is it part new pitching coach? Is it part Girardi? What do you think the turnaround here is?
I'm going to say mindset. So, I would say Caleb Cotham would obviously be a big guy to get into somebody's mind of a pitcher. Because, like you said, if it's not physical, then what is it? Well, it's concentration.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You go in there, you look at the glove, you throw to it. Some guys, that's all they need. You see this? This is the rubber. This is the mound. It has a slope on it. You see that glove? Throw through it. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just that simple for some guys. Hopefully that's all it is here.
Yeah, hopefully. Rick, they're running in scoring position numbers offensively.
Runners in stranded position.
Yeah, dreadful. Is that something that they can just snap out of, or is that a bigger issue?
I think it could be snapped out of, but, I mean, here's a perfect example. The other night, they're playing the Marlins. They're 0-6 at mm-hmm. one point, and they end up going 6-8 in one inning. So, I mean, it could change quickly, but this whole, How do I say this? It's not just them. It's look around the league.
I look at all the no-hitters.
Who's the team that's hitting 199?
The Seattle. Season?
They suck.
Yeah.
We could They've put together no-hit. Nine guys that could hit.
Three teams. So this was going to be one of the questions, so I might as well just ask it now. Three teams have been no-hit twice already.
Yeah.
The amount of no-hitters is exceeding the amount of three home run games from batters.
These guys, and by
the
way,
are pitchers better or is the batting approach worse?
That is a bunch of garbage that the pitchers are better because.
It's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
There's more movement these days, isn't there?
Today. Movement, and you're probably one of those guys who thinks everybody's throwing 100 right now.
No.
Well, no, there is no.
There's not it's better, all batting is, approach.
I have never seen so many mistakes get missed in my life.
Bryce last night, jeez.
How about Knapp?
Yeah.
That last pitch was a cement mixer. That ball was a hot air balloon right down the middle of the plate. And he put a good swing on it. I mean, mm-hmm. he just missed it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to be looking for 97 and you get this pitch that's just sitting there. But usually, if you're looking for 97, you yank that foul.
I yell at the TV every time I hear somebody say, well, the pitching in Major League Baseball's never been better. That is a load of crap.
The hitting's never been worse.
That is so bad. Pitching rotations have never been worse.
By the way, all you analytics people, and I know they're out there still, and I will say this much. I don't know how long you guys have listened or followed with me. I know I've known Jamie and Bob for a long time. But ever since this started, I have never been a fan of this uppercut swing. I always said it would fail. And guess what? It's failing.
So when do they adjust back?
It is not.
Do they?
Yeah, I guess. But at this point, all these guys that are in the major leagues are already in that.
Yeah.
You either followed or you stood pat. You look at a guy like Rhys Hoskins. He followed and he sucked. Now he's coming back to where mm-hmm. he was. He's getting much better.
All right, Tony La Russa getting killed this week by people because of the fact that there's the, you know, I'm a person who doesn't believe in the dusty old, this is the way we've always done it, we should do things this way. But the idea that no one in baseball is allowed to have a differing opinion, that he thinks that's bogus what he did, I think is more the case. He's saying the way the game's been played, that never was the way it was done.
Right.
Where do you fall on this? Hit swinging at a 47 mile an hour pitch.
You know what? First and foremost, if you're going to put a regular player in to pitch, the heck with you.
There are
no rules out there. Just swing like you're playing home run derby in the backyard. I'm sorry. That's the way it should be looked at, right? Unwritten rules, I think there's only a few left. I think showing up a team when you're up a lot of runs, which means stealing bases late in the ball game.
That's
I think
bad.
Anytime you do that, that's rubbing it in somebody's face. It used to be a bat flip, but I think that really depends on what pitcher's out there. You know what? How much heart do you have as a pitcher, and how much do you want to be showing up? I'll tell you this much. I've given up a couple home runs where I wanted to look at them. And I could recall one in Cincinnati. Adam Dunn. Hadn't thrown him a changeup in my career.
I threw
him a changeup, and he hit this thing to the last. It was literally the last row in the stadium before it went in the river. And I was actually rude. I'm looking at it, get in the river. Get in the river.
Go, baby, go.
I'm thinking to myself, they'll show this forever if it goes out. And it didn't make it. But
he was a large man.
I don't mind. If you hit the ball that far, that's fine. But if you're a wall scraper, Jock Peterson a couple weeks ago that – sacrifice fly that he thought he hit out of the ballpark. It looks silly.
I think it's okay when people, though, will critique and say, come on, Tony, you're a little over the top. But Tony La Russa is a freaking Hall of Famer. And you got Joe Bag of Donuts people who have never even had a cup of coffee in the major leagues calling him out.
Okay,
I'd say, at that point, shut up a little
bit. Number one, it was against his own team.
Right.
He feels strongly about that.
Yes,
and I'm sure he wants the guys to play the game the way it was supposed to
be
played.
And by the way, but he knows
you know
how
what?
To play
a
the game.
A position player pitching isn't the way it's supposed to be played either. So,
good point.
You know what? You want to throw a position player out there. What does it matter? Their ERA doesn't mean garbage in the long run. That's dumpster in a bag.
And you go up there making out. You look like an AI. You can't. The shortstop struck you out.
What about Freddie Freeman and Rizzo?
Freddie didn't care. Freddie's the classiest.
They laughed so much about that.
Freddie's the classiest player I think I've ever seen in this game. loves the game, plays great, the game hard, great plays the game well.
Great person.
And he's a good person. I would give anything to have that guy on the Phillies. I would trade away three guys for him right
he's
now.
He's a great person, too. Hey, at Wendy's, get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes for just $3. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Ricky Pitalico chooses Wendy's often. You love Wendy's. You're a Wendy's advocate.
I'm a double-double. Like the double burgers.
Mm. Okay, but the other day, you saw there was you won a little side thing on your side of your cup.
I won something on the side of my cup. Well, I was telling you guys it's very crafty on their part because I won an orange juice.
And when would you get that?
In the mornings.
When you try Wendy's breakfast.
That's right.
You're geniuses, Wendy's. You're absolute geniuses. Luring people in here. You, Phillies, if I had told you the other day, we've had so many people like complaining about where the Phillies are, what the Phillies are. Oh, wow, all these opportunities. If I had said to you, the Phillies are going to be 22-21 on May 19th. Would you have said sign on the dotted line for that? That's okay.
No, I would have said that's about right.
Right.
Because that's who they are.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you try to slice this, dice this, put it on a sandwich, it always comes out the same. It's a team that could get going for 4 or 5 games. They might put together a 4 or 5 game streak. But when that halts, you could almost book that 4 out of the next 5 are losses.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, this doesn't get any easier. If they lose this series today, you got the Red Sox coming in, and then you have to go to Miami and Tampa.
Yeah, it's not an easy trip.
You and then never Cincinnati, play well and in Miami.
And Cincinnati. So, I mean, not that Cincinnati's great.
Well, Cincinnati but that's can hit the baseball.
But that's
so
a 10-game road trip. It's a 10-game road trip.
Yeah.
That's not going to be easy.
Life moves on.
So, after 43 games, whatever it is, they are what they are so far. But what good have we taken out of this season so far, Rick? Because I have one guy that I think, okay, you got something here, and it might be something you run with.
You have Nick Maton.
Yeah. Bob's in love.
Are you?
Bob's running? Got a little light. Bit of boy crush.
Yeah. He likes. Yeah.
Holding maybe not hands right now.
Yeah.
He passed
hands.
Him a note the other day.
Yeah.
So that's how you know.
He asked him to have a catch.
I will say this much. I like what Maton has done. I like that he has no fear. I mean, when you come up to the big leagues, I think that is the hardest thing to do. And those are where you can separate people immediately at a big league level. Scott Kingery, huge fear going on right now. I don't even think Scott's a major leaguer right now.
He's not.
I don't know how you guys feel.
No, he's not. No.
And do I feel bad? Yeah, he was pointing in the wrong direction, and he followed that path really hard. As a matter of fact, his so-called hitting guru, I've seen him.
So you can't
I've seen
spend
him,
an off-season
him on Twitter
changing?
On like with other. Former major league players, this guy gets blasted.
Okay,
and I'm sure he charges an arm and a leg for people to strike out.
Here's what I ask. There's quarterbacks every single year who will go, guys who have already been to the playoffs, and they will go and they'll find a coach. Out in L.A. is one of the greatest, a former baseball guy, who's now one of the greatest quarterback coaches that does quarterback training in the offseason. And veteran quarterbacks will go and work with him. Right. Tom House.
Yeah.
And they'll go work with him in the offseason and work on changing their game, going back to it. You mean to tell me that no one can take Scott Kingery in an offseason and say, Scott, get in the cage and do this every day, and you're going to take this many swings every day?
I want you to envision his swing and miss right now and think about how many different things are wrong with his swing.
Footwork?
And if anybody here... Footwork is beautiful because where I was going with this, what does he actually look like when he's taking the swing? Looks like a ballerina
doing
a pirouette. I'm dead serious.
He
looks like a ballerina doing a pirouette, and I can't tell you how many times that I've seen that same stare at the scoreboard. Did I just swing and miss again? Yeah, you did, pal. And I'm sorry for him. But he got paid, so don't feel that bad.
Yeah.
No, he's got tons of money in the bank, and it was one of the dumbest things that Phillies
have
ever
done. That was the worst signing ever.
It's ridiculous.
Ever. No, no big league time.
It's really bad. Rick, if you had to pick one spot to upgrade this team by the trade deadline, where are you pushing in?
It's a tough question. Well, one spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they do too, but...
I don't think the bullpen is that bad. I think they've had their moments.
Coonrod's been good.
Kinsler has not.
No.
I mean that's...
But Archie Bradley's back now.
Archie's back, so that kind of solidifies there. If you're playoff push, you really don't worry about four and five starters because that's when you start using the off days to put your number one, two, threes back in. I'm going to say, man, the bench. I mean, that's...
Does the bench improve if
you need somebody,
everybody's healthy?
You need somebody that can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
I'm going to say nothing.
I thought you were going to say third base.
No, I'm going to say nothing.
There's a this lot team of third base things coming up right
is
now.
So, this like team Alex is so Baldwin. Far yeah. from winning anything.
We were just saying if we're
so I'm saying is if you can improve the bench,
yeah,
you bring in a bench bat, well, a big bomber, somebody who can like swing off the bench. That's gonna be I'm
Joey
fine
Gallo.
With. If you're talking about we got
although he'd probably
we
start.
Have people in Philly's yeah. Philly's Twitter, by the way. I'm thinking they need a breathalyzer. Just reading people on Twitter and their response. They need to go call the Cubs. They got to be able to make moves with the Cubs. I'm like, dude, this team is not close to winning anything. They can't win right now.
They're not that
don't
far.
Mortgage your, yeah, but don't mortgage what you got.
Right. The problem is they're not that far.
But don't and mortgage what you've got.
By the way, it's been what? 10 plus years? I mean, it's been a long time since they sniffed the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. It's been exactly 10 years.
Yeah.
So, would mortgaging the future? Because that's
what you
have to trade.
What
them.
Do you mortgage?
No,
say, yeah,
what no, do they
if
have to mortgage?
Make a bold move. What are you going to do?
Who would your one bold move? I already have mine. Who would your one bold move?
I'm saying.
Boom.
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. What is their bold move?
Oh, yeah.
See, now, to me, that's fine. Because I'm totally fine because once, I think first base is going to become a logjam.
See,
when they go to a full DH, which they will,
right.
after this year, Rhys Hoskins is going to become a logjam.
Right.
That position.
Well, I love and respect Rhys because of what he's done.
Sure.
I mean, he came up, he really was that superstar, and then all of a sudden he hit a really big rut, like the size of the Grand Canyon rut, and he got himself out of it. So I respect him for being able to persevere through that because it's not easy, especially in this city.
But he might be the worst defensive first baseman
he's
I've ever
butcher.
Seen.
Not very good.
He's a butcher.
He's not even a first.
Carter Hart says, how does that get by him at
you know
first
what's,
base?
You know what's
that's
funny?
That's how bad it
you
was
You have to
this
watch
year.
Him like on a ball in the dirt because he's always going down first. Instead of out for the ball, he always goes straight down first. And to me, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you guys even figure
I'll
that out.
I'll keep an eye on it now.
But it's just one of those things where if anybody, he's not necessarily quote unquote expendable, but I think he's one of those guys that you can get something back for right now.
Rick, you said the Phillies kind of are what they are right now, 22-21. Yeah. They're only a game out. Is the National League East kind of...
National League East really, really sucks right now.
Are they are what they are is my question. Are they are what they are?
I think two teams at some point in the NL East will take off. And I'm assuming it's going to be around first week of August, maybe second week of August, they take off.
Braves and Mets?
I don't know who they're going to... You know, I can't even guarantee you the Mets.
Yeah,
the Mets have been injured, and they got more guys getting injured.
Yeah.
The Braves at some point will make a run.
They're going to win.
They're going to make a run.
The Braves will do a 20 out of 25 at some point.
That will be the run that will push somebody up to the top.
But
and you're right,
you,
the Braves seem to do it every year.
It's wide open. Yeah, but right now, though, that pitching staff's in shambles. Their bullpen is in shambles.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Let's go to bullpen real quick.
Okay.
This is becoming an absolute joke around the league.
I think everybody's bullpen's in shambles.
By the way, in an era where everyone's trying to convince you the pitching's never been better in Major League Baseball, which is a joke.
All the bullpen are sucked.
Which is a complete joke.
Is everyone?
It's awful. I always hear that. Oh, pitching's... That's the reason batting's bad, because pitching's never been better.
It's analytics.
It's
that's
a joke.
Why. That's why, because apparently spin rate means more than getting people out. That's the new thing.
Well, no, as great as it's
a bunch of crap.
I got people.
Well, then get points for spin rate.
ERA. You're going to ERA. I had a guy say to me the other day, he goes, you're giving me ERA. ERA is an old statistic.
ERA
I'm
means
like,
everything.
I said ERA is the statistic for any pitcher. Earn run average is
I
it.
Do. Here's the one thing.
Do you
thing.
Think it's inflated for bullpen guys?
Yes,
though?
It sucks for
yes.
bullpen.
Well, it's always going to be.
Let me put it this way. For the Mets, I ended up with a 3-3 ERA for the year in 70-something appearances. I had one game with two outs. I gave up six runs.
Yeah.
And it screwed you big time.
It took $3 million out of my pocket when you think about it.
Jeez.
From a 3-3 to just under a 2?
That's wild.
I mean, Bob knows that's a huge difference for baseball.
Patty, you're always the fun one with Ricky loves you.
I can tell.
He loves you especially.
He loves coming in here and seeing my face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of growing. He's kind of growing.
He does. He's like a fungus. Yeah.
I'm like a fungus with it.
Still an ass, but whatever.
No, I agree with you though on spin rate. It annoys me because Jake Junis, the Royals pitcher, has an incredible spin rate. It's one of the best in baseball. His ERA is 5.5. Spin rate is the exit velocity of
pitchers. You're an analytics guy, right?
No, I can't say
that. No, he hates it.
See, look, we just became best friends.
You're
like me. No, let's go share some Wendy's during the break. Come on.
I already had one.
But on the counter to that, I like analytics, but it doesn't rule my day. Like Brent Terry Strom, the Astros pitching coach,
I know Brent. I was a coach.
Like BTS. What he did for Charlie Morton and unlocking his spin rate worked wonders for Charlie. Is that an outlier or is that something?
It's an outlier.
Okay.
I mean, when you think about it, does it work for everybody? No.
No.
How many guys are not getting an opportunity at the big league level who know how to move the ball around within the strike zone anymore?
Yeah.
They just might not throw, quote unquote, 100 miles an hour. Bunch of garbage, by the way. It's out of the hand. And then yesterday, Michael Barkan asked me the dumbest of dumb questions on the show.
That's why you guys are great.
What about moving the mound back a foot? What? I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I was in the big leagues and they moved the mound back a foot, I'm going to have some issues. Because, number one, forget the record books, right? They're all gone.
Yes, they're gone.
You can't do that anymore. And forget my velocity. And being only 6 foot, that makes it that much tougher on me. Maybe maybe the taller guys could make up for that. But I there was no way I could have made. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. These guys have been pitching. These guys have been pitching from 60 feet, 6 inches for how long?
Yeah.
Forever. And then you're going to ask them to move back a foot.
Hey, switch up.
No injuries there.
Switch up your routine with Wawa's delicious and crunchy breakfast and lunch paninis. Get one this for lunch today. Choose your favorite, like Southwest Turkey or a Chipotle bacon egg panini, available at your local Wawa. We'll have more with Ricky. If you want to try to get a question in for Ricky, and you can make it good, 610-632-0975. We would love to have you join in our conversation here. It's a Thursday. Tomorrow, Show 100 comes your way. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. There is so much fun to be had on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Vinny Velasquez is on the mound, and the Phillies are a favorite against the Marlins. How's that look to you? That's pretty good right now. You can take advantage of that. But everyone's going to be watching hoops tonight. You got the Wizards, 3.5-point favorites against Indiana. Bob has already told you he's really a believer in the Indiana Pacers, so maybe you want to jump on that. Maybe you want to look ahead. The Clippers, -5 versus Dallas. Denver, -1 versus Portland. Milwaukee, -5 versus Miami for the Saturday hoops games. And if you're going to be watching some golf today, Rory McIlroy, 11-1. Justin Thomas, 14-1. Get in with a $500 risk-free bet. Never been a better time for you to join the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC. parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. Get on in. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just a reminder, Wendy's will give you that classic sausage, egg, and cheese, or a classic bacon, egg, and cheese, paired with small seasoned breakfast potatoes, but you have to give them $3 in order to get it. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Ricky just got in on our PGA pool.
Yes, I did.
PGA Championship There's pool.
John Daly was leading after one hole.
My gosh.
He's got no shot in hell.
a $10 bet on him pays out $10,100, I think.
No, it doesn't.
Something like that.
No, it just takes your
$10.
Yeah. A $10 bet on him just takes your
win.
I always hear that, though. Is that it plays off? No,
the problem is the older guys, like a Mickelson, him. I mean, I say older. I'm talking older for golf. You go into that tournament, you might have one good round.
Yeah.
It'll bite you at some point. That place is nasty.
It looks ridiculous.
You ever play that?
No.
Oh, that's crazy.
Everybody always says, oh, He like seems like the most fun guy out there.
Who?
John Daly.
He's probably miserable.
Like, he is the most miserable. He leads the saddest life.
Yeah.
You go to the Masters every year. He is the Hooters in Augusta is right on the main drag. His trailer is parked next to it.
Good for him, though.
He's but that's not good. He's literally selling merchandise out of a, like, he opens up the trailer and sells, like.
But at least he could still sell.
$10 shot glasses.
Oh, that's awesome.
And stuff like that.
Jamie would buy 100.
He sells $10 shot glasses. And honestly, sometimes if you bang on the door, because we would try to do an interview with him, get him to come out. You bang on the door, go, hey, he's John. He'd open the door. He's in his boxer shorts.
That's awesome.
And a tank top.
You guys go to any golf tournaments?
Yeah.
I love going to a golf tournament.
When I was a little kid, we had the Greater Hartford Open.
Yeah, sure.
It was in Weathersfield, Connecticut, not in Cromwell.
So
it was
actually at Weathersfield
Country Club. Easy course. I mean, players used to eat
easy.
It up. But my grandfather or whatever at the time was doing security there for the tournament.
Right.
So I was standing where I'll never forget this. It was a Wednesday. It was Pro-Am day. Back then, the Pro-Ams was local celebrities. Yeah. And like big Sammy Davis Jr. was there.
That's cool.
I mean, I was young. And so Gordie Howe comes by. I got a little Whalers hockey stick with it. You know who's going to be there. It says, he signs it. No problem. Right at the bottom. Perfect.
That's awesome.
So I still got that.
See, that's awesome.
And then Bob Hope comes up. Remember Bob Hope?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, real funny guy, huh?
Oh, no.
Don't meet your heroes.
I was not thrilled with that guy.
Really?
I was the only kid there. Only person there.
Have you interacted?
Asked him for an autograph. He literally pushed me out of the way and said, get out of here.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Have you interacted with Tom Watson?
And me as like a 8-year-old had a couple free choice words.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. I didn't care.
For Bob Hope?
Oh, yeah.
That's a freaking legend.
Oh, yeah. And then I went on the course and yelled at him the whole time. I wasn't afraid. Back then, kids could roam wherever you want. You're not getting taken.
Ever interact with Tom Watson?
No,
let me suggest to you, don't.
I have. J.C. Sneed, I did. As a matter of fact, he said, go get me. He gave me a $50 bill, told him to go get him an iced tea. Brought it back and told me to keep the change.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
The year Stuart Sink and Tom Watson were battling it out for the British Open.
Yeah.
For the claret jug, and they went to the playoff. People were like, all of America's rooting for Tom Watson. I said, all of America that hasn't met
Tom
Watson. Ricky Bowes in studio. Why, Coach? Why do we get to have him here?
He is brought to us by Twin Spires Sportsbook, now live in PA. Download the Twin Spires app and unlock a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Can Coach sound a little bit more happier doing that?
I think he is happy.
It's his radio voice.
It's like Manny Miserable.
It's the radio voice.
Wow.
Debbie Downer and Manny Miserable had a child.
The gloves are off, Rick.
My gosh, they're really
heavy. In fairness to Coach, he's stuck in here with me, so.
Well, exactly.
That's a good point.
That is unbelievable. So right now when you are looking at the Phillies heading forward.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the manager has gotten a better handle on getting things right, because he was getting ripped on this show last week?
Okay.
Has he had a good week since?
Should have bonded last night.
That's what we were wondering about this morning.
I forgot my mic was
on. Don't pollute it. Yeah. But
well, he tried bunting with Eflin last night. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Brad Miller. Take away the double play there. I know Brad Miller's one of your better bets, but
Yeah,
I just take away the double play. Whatever, it's not a big deal.
I understand where you're coming from. That's a flip of the coin situation.
Yeah. Is it though?
If he gets a double, you're never brought in.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But what are the odds?
It's
what
hindsight.
Gives you a better? No.
Yes.
It's not hindsight.
If you
what
said
gives
it
you a better
game,
yeah, but what gives you a better chance to win in that situation? What is a better chance of
him hitting
out
a home run would give you a better
no,
chance?
No, right. But the chances
if
of that,
I'm not
yeah.
wrong, it was no. 3-1.
The better chance of
win.
That, and that's ridiculous. Yeah. The better chance of what is happening there to help
get
you run that game.
To second and third
correct.
With one out.
That is, and that's not hindsight. And I hear that. It's
but
not. The, I even heard that on
not,
your post game last
analytics,
night.
That's not analytics. That's not.
It's not hindsight.
I'm going to go with
that's
my feeling
sense.
Here. And he took a shot that Brad wouldn't hit one on the ground.
Well, he took a shot though that is the less likely scenario to work. It's less likely. He's not a 300 hitter.
Well, it was a 25% chance
advance,
that he gets a
guess
hit.
What?
I mean,
there's a 25% chance he gets a hit. I would think there's more of a chance that he could advance the runner.
No,
the
Phillies suck at advancing the runner.
Yeah,
they
are
outs,
bad at that.
With under
yeah.
two outs, yeah.
He should do all right with that, though.
Well, if there's a runner on second, it's a perfect ball. Hit it to second baseman, he gets over to third base. But You know, the whole situation there was, I think they were looking for the one big hit. I don't think they were very comfortable against that Marlins team last night in the box.
They weren't comfortable till the eighth inning the other night.
Yeah, well, they got some help. I mean, I thought, you know, the Andrew Knapp walk in that inning probably was the biggest plate appearance
great
in the inning.
Bat.
It was, he almost had another great one last night. He worked another 0-2 count to 3-2 in that ninth inning and got a really good pitch to hit. So there are some good things going sure. on here. I mean, you know, like last night, I'm usually pretty...
animated?
Yeah.
Well, you're very low-key without opinions.
Yeah, I don't say too much.
You know, you're very shy.
But before the game last night, I was more fired up than after. I understand that when you look at a ball game, I just feel like, well, the Phillies lost this game.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like they did a ton wrong. I just felt like they didn't hit in the right situations. If they would have hit in some situations, if Andrew Knapp would have hit that ball a millimeter higher on the bat or lower on the bat, it's a home run. I mean, there's a lot of little things that why they lost, but I felt like Eflin threw the ball well. He made really one bad pitch in the whole game. And I thought Rogers was really good. This guy when I looked at all this stuff and I look at video before games, the one thing that I was thinking to myself, well, he's going to try to get to a count that's about 1-2 or 2-2, and then he's going to try to make that hitter go with his pitches. And that's exactly what happened all night last night. And I think the Phillies realized that you get to two strikes against this guy, you're in some trouble. So they tried digging in earlier on. And they were getting some pitches with movement that they just couldn't handle.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. They lose a 3-1 game last night.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, they lost the game.
Right.
And there's nothing much to it. Usually with a 22-21 team, I was thinking of this the other day. That's how you would look at the season. Okay, they won 4. Okay, they lost 3. That's who they are. But this has been anything but this season, right? With the Haseley taking off, with the center field position not knowing, with Girardi, Segura, all of these things, it's been a soap opera of a season that should be just yawn, stretch, 22-21.
Well, put yourself in Girardi's shoes since he's been signed here. There's been a pandemic. He's had to coach through
that. It's not even one full season
yet.
Yeah,
through that last year.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, it must feel like 5-10.
Yeah.
Then you come in this year, and there's still, you know, some things that are, you know, untied knots, if you will, with the team and the pandemic and stuff like that. Still not a full house at City. He's never, besides the World Series when he was here, he as a home manager, he has never seen a full house at Citizens
Bank. That's wild.
And then he's had every problem that you could imagine that is out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
And he's created some.
And he has not been terrible. I know he's made some
by his
decisions,
standards.
But you also have to wonder, is that creakiness? Is that... I mean, because last year, let's face it, you could have done anything you wanted last year in the dugout. Nobody was going to really criticize anything.
No.
Is that fair enough to
say? Yeah, I think so.
That is fair.
And I think you almost take a year off of managing like that. And at some point, you come back, you're going to be a little rusty.
Check out our friends at Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Download it at parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. You are one of my favorites in town with baseball analysis because you're one of the people who refuses to just constantly, everything Bryce Harper does is great. His defense is atrocious this year. And to his standards, it's terrible. It's below average.
The one thing I'm noticing, he's having a problem coming in on the ball.
What's going on?
Which is usually the easiest thing to do. I don't know. You know what though? It's happening a lot.
But what is it?
Are they using invisibles or something? Because I don't know.
I thought vision.
That would be your first thought, but it doesn't look like he's having a problem up at the plate seeing the ball.
No.
I mean, so you kind of erase
that.
Is
there a little difference?
But I did have a problem at times, and this was certain ballparks. I can remember going out and at certain times, I would literally, I had like a tint issue. Like
what?
Tint.
Oh.
Like an eye tint. So I would wear different colored sunglasses to pick up the ball sometimes.
So
different stadiums.
To that point, the play in right field where him and Odubel had the confusion.
Yeah.
Apparently my
that
buddies.
That was Bryce's baseball.
Yeah. So my buddies in D.C. said he was notorious for struggling with that illuminated scoreboard in right center. Apparently that was like a bad spot for him, and he never made plays there. That's what they were telling me. Now, I wasn't watching every Nationals game.
What the hell does the scoreboard? It's not even facing
something
you.
With the light.
But it's not facing you.
But if you're running back to it, you're seeing the light. I'm not making excuses for him.
He had his head turned in the whole time.
But to your point of vision and
last night, there's no excuse for
there
that.
There was a fly ball, a short fly ball.
It was
ball,
a simple short way, fly ball.
And the worst, you want to hear the worst part, is that ballpark's not big.
Correct.
There's not a lot of ground to cover in
that
ballpark.
And he's breaking the wrong way on a ball. That was a short fly ball.
Even if you're unsure, you're closer to the wall than you are coming in. Give yourself a quick little stop. Mix. Do not do the stutter forward and then backwards, because then you lose an extra second.
How hurt is he?
That's a good question.
He's because we were talking about it earlier.
I would say that shoulder. A shoulder just doesn't. He said it hurts on certain swings, which bothers me.
Yeah, certain swings, and we saw how he's throwing the ball. So I'm wondering, are you breaking deep? Yeah, because you want to keep everything in front of you because you don't want to have a further throw. I don't know.
I would doubt that has anything.
Breaking a ball has anything to do with that.
That's why it's so weird.
Could always throw it underhand if it hurts that bad.
I mean, it's
speaking of poor defense, Rick. And this question is going to be brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. I think Alec Bohm has taken some baby steps of improvement defensively. Can he get to an adequate spot defensively, or is this kind of what he's going
to
be?
I'm not sure if his size is conducive to being good over there.
He's
being
big.
Really good over there. Doesn't he look like a
tall and lanky?
He looks like a giraffe sometimes over there, kind of falling
down.
I'd
feel better at first. Putting him at first.
I 100% would feel right. And I wouldn't have said that earlier in the season. I just feel like athletically, he doesn't look like moving. And like last night,
there was that broken line drive
to him. He probably should have caught it.
Probably should have.
He actually, if you watch it, his glove went past the ball, which means he saw it.
He was in good spot.
He didn't react to it. He's got a lot of work to do. His throws are really all over the place. One's high, two are low, the next one's side to side. I'm wondering if his at-bats are starting to go out into the field with him.
Put Bohm first baseman in the future. Period.
So to that point,
Harper's going to have to go over there at some point.
And so is JT.
And you know, you have two guys signed to contracts that you would normally go, they're going to be your first baseman in the future. But you signed two guys to long-term contracts that are going to double up on that spot.
Sure.
And you're going to have Alec Bohm, one of your great young players, who's targeted for that spot. So the planning of the long-term planning of this roster made no sense. Makes no sense. Because Harper and
makes no sense with Hoskins still here.
And Harper and Real Muto are both tagged for being first base.
Well, you can't get rid of those guys.
No, because you went and you doubled up on the big contracts to the same guy.
How about Harper's numbers? What do you think of Harper's numbers?
I've
300?
Seven home runs.
Yes.
He's hitting 300.
Like it's fine.
Good pace.
Really? I'd rather see him at 270 with
14
home runs. And he's only got, 11 RBIs right now?
I think all of his home runs were 13.
Solo. Seven
do you,
solo
but you don't blame
home runs.
Him, unbelievable. But you don't blame him for that.
That's just some bad luck.
It is that nobody's on base.
Yeah.
I mean, he hit two in one game, though. I mean, I don't
know. I feel like all their home runs are solo shots.
There's a lot of solo shots.
Pat, you look like you want to chime in on those. Look like you're.
I don't think the roster construction is as bad as you think. I mean, when is Harper even going to play first base?
Guess what? Wait a minute. Harper is a disaster this year defensively in right field, and he's in the prime of his career, and he's a young man. I think it's going to come sooner than later.
So then you have a DH.
Okay, so then he's the DH. So then you got to move other guys.
Not even 100%.
You don't have to move other guys. You can swap in and out the DH. You just sit on the bench.
You want them all on. If you have Hoskins, Real Muto, and Harper,
and what are you doing with Bohm?
In the lineup. You want them in the lineup 150 games. Then you got Bohm. So where are you putting Bohm?
Third base.
No.
Yes. I don't know if I can watch a decade of this.
You cannot watch. Alex,
I just don't think you watched a decade of Ryan Howard butcher first base, and you're sitting here acting like. You know, we've been watching good first baseman.
Ryan Howard was better at first base than Rhys Hoskins.
No, he wasn't.
Than Rhys Hoskins?
Yes, he was.
It might be my blood sugar.
And maybe
he wasn't good, though.
He wasn't good.
What
he
gave you? Out there.
Yeah, he gave you a historic run production make up for it.
Ryan Howard benefited enough that there was enough. By the way,
That's my point. Like, if Alec Bohm gives you incredible run production, I don't give a damn about his defense.
You can't have a third baseman.
Third baseman has to play third base.
It's a hot corner.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Jake? Yeah, that's what they call it, Pat.
It's like he's dismantling bombs over there with Alec Bohm. It's like him and Hoskins. When the ball's hit them, it's like there's somebody's hitting them
a
ball.
It's so weird because he kind of gets to the ball, but then his glove doesn't get to the ball. If you watch Bohm.
Yeah.
Like, his body will get to the ball, but to get the glove over there, it's such a long way to go from one side to the other. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to end up being. I really don't.
So you said he needs work at third base. So how do you give him work? It's keeping him there, right?
You
so
keep
how
him
long
there,
do you do it?
Keep playing. Y'all, they'll do it this year. I mean,
at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If it doesn't work, well, he's got to hit a little bit too.
Oh yeah, he's got to hit.
I mean, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of question marks for the Phillies right now with their younger players.
I'm actually 22 and 21. If you'd said to me the very first day of the year, Phillies are going to be 22
well,
and
you're
21.
A Braves fan, you would.
I would
say
have
that.
Signed on the dotted line. They're a disaster. They're a flat out disaster.
My whole thing about the Phillies is I said 86 wins, and I think they're right.
I said 85
almost,
or 86.
Almost
yeah.
on
I said
that
85.
Pace. And when I said they will contend for the East at that point, people laughed at me.
I still am.
Because I looked at it more of a black and blue division that they're going to beat the living daylights out of each other. Than
I still am.
What?
I'm still chuckling at that. 85 or 86, you're not going to be
86,
waiting.
86, man.
I'm still chuckling.
You
somebody somebody's going to win 90. I think maybe even two win 90.
I don't know about that.
It's going to shake out.
Who? Name names, coward.
I said to you before. I said I think the Braves are going to win 90. I think the Braves are going to win 90. I think the Mets are going to win 90.
Braves have no pitching.
But 2 years ago, the Braves won the division with 90 wins.
Last time in a 162, the Braves had the exact same record they have today.
If the Mets...
And they won 97.
If the Mets get healthy and stay healthy, the Mets, especially on the mound.
The Mets have some problems. Really good...
They just had Walker go to the DL. They're beat up.
Four of their eight position players on the DL.
Well, McNeil and Conforto went out in one game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's a... Why all the injuries? Because, again... These are the greatest athletes we've ever seen. They're in the best shape of their lives, and they are on the disabled. By the way, they're on the injured list from if you just go 30 years ago.
Yeah,
these guys are 2.5 times more likely to have a stint on the disabled list.
Drink a freaking beer once in a while. You need a little bit of fat on your body. I think these guys are so into how muscle ripped I can get. That obviously you start with that, and then you start tugging on those muscles. At some point, they're going to rip.
Soft tissue injuries.
Yeah,
they're getting you are baseball.
Baseball is not about being
contrition,
a six pack, and ripped.
1990 to 2020. I say this one. You are 2.5 more. So you are 2.5 times more likely to go on the injured list.
Yeah, no disagree.
In 2020. Than you were in 1990, than a player was in 1990. To have a stint on the injured list, 2.5 times more players today.
Look at what the players look like back then.
Yeah, they're all... Now they were strong, but Tony Gwynn
looked like a barrel.
Well, he was a little fat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
By the way, you probably even made my point even stronger because you don't have to be, ripped and 220... to hit a baseball.
Ichiro is one of the best hitters I've ever seen. You guys are rail.
Back then, you know what people looked at? Your forearms, if you were a hitter.
Popeye arms?
They wanted to see that you had really strong forearms because that would normally mean your wrists are strong, right?
Yeah.
And that you could drive through a baseball. Huh. You ever heard of the term flick your wrist?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's baseball term. That's where it came from.
It's funny. I equate you talking about the injuries. Like, there was a study 10, 15 years ago where girls... that were getting into weightlifting and all that stuff, like Division I athletes.
ACLs.
Were killing their ACLs because their bodies weren't used to handle it. It's almost equivalent to what you're saying that, these guys are getting so jacked up that maybe their muscles are just too tight.
It is too much.
Yeah. Are they not working hard enough in spring training?
Think about how many pitchers you hear, like lat strains and stuff like that.
And it shouldn't be. What are you trying to do? Look great at the beach?
You're trying to look great
at the beach and trying to walk around instead of just trying to be nimble.
Play baseball. Make it simple, right? Make it simple. That's Tom Brady.
What does he do? Plyometrics, yoga.
That's plyometrics, yoga. If you look at these guys, they're all like really, big up top, thin in the middle, and then big legs.
Core strength is
all I did was legs. And the funny thing is, when they started making me do all these little exercises for your arms, guess what happened?
Shoulder problems.
Injuries.
There you go.
Yep.
Too much.
Need a whole team of David Wells.
I never had a shoulder injury until I started doing shoulder exercises. Huh. That's what you get. The what will be your third? So when do you have? You have the day game. You have a game today.
Yeah, we have a game today.
You have a game today, so you got to be ready for that one. Yep. And then you got to be ready for. And then when they go on the road trip for the whole road trip, then you get a little bit of a. Is it a different routine?
It's not
for
a breather.
You? No, but
for
is
me.
It a different routine?
No,
for you?
I will be. I'm in studio tonight. I have my daughter's prom on Saturday. So
awesome.
That's no good there. And then back at it for the road trip. So the road trip's, no, it's no different.
No, but I mean, your routine is the same on a game day at home?
I'm one of those guys who likes to make sure that I know what the hell I'm talking about when I go on.
It shows.
So I try to go in there and do my studying early on. And I try to, I mean, my producer is Sean Kane. He's actually married to Amy Fadul. So me and Sean are friends, but I mean, I like to go in there and
show that you're prepared.
I like to know what he's doing. I'd like to know what we're going to do because Bob's been on some of those shows. If you don't know what's going on, you could end up in outer space sometime.
You'd be surprised how many radio shows fly by the seat of their pants like that.
That's what I do when I come in here.
There you go. Thank you, Ricky.
You got it.
Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our generous partner, Window Nation. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Tomorrow, join us. Our 100th edition of the John Kincaid Show tomorrow morning. We've got fun. We've got prizes. We've got special, exciting stuff that you're not going to want to miss. Plus, we will know the Sixers' first-round opponent. Cuz Radio comes your way next. Tune us as the starter today here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.